welcome. We've got some public comment.
Everybody here is for agenda items.
Okay. We're going to have the agenda review added items.
Council, just a few things. Add, and these things can be added really to the consent. Water and wastewater report for May. Updated delinquency report. Letter from Randy Sanitation. And then updated June claims list can be added to the agenda under item number 11.
Okay. And can Parkside Tavern, could that be removed from the consent agenda and discussed in more depth?
If you wish.
Okay, I do.
Okay.
Okay.
Remove the Parkside Tavern from the consent agenda for added viewing.
I move to approve the agenda as stated.
The motion, is there a second?
Sure.
Second. Is there a nay? Okay, pass. Consent agenda. We looked over the items and stuff. Parkside Tavern is going to be excluded for further notice or viewing, I should say.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
There a motion? Is there a second?
Sure.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passed. Okay. Justin, Chief Justin Buckentine, Fire Department report.
Good evening, all.
Good evening.
We'll start off with the Sommerfest. Just to give you an update, June 20th, 21st. This year, it's us and Lions putting it on together. We had tractor pull, car cruise, kickball, little league, barbecue cook-off, bean bag, ventriloquist, pedal pull. There's probably more too. But I don't know if you have any questions on anything with Sommerfest.
Only thing I have under that, Justin, is just the liquor license for Sommerfest.
Yep.
Last year we required $1 million and $2 million limits for insurance. Do we want to require them same limits this year?
Did you guys get insurance?
Well, I think we're waiting on to see tonight what we got to do.
Because if so, council has to approve that, and then I have to write a letter to the insurance company letting them know that we approve the higher insurance requirements for the license.
I think that is for what we serve at, because the Lions covered under their insurance and we need our own. So,
because otherwise the limits are $100,300, which really doesn't go far in today's world.
Yeah, what's the difference in premium?
Because we're covered with ours.
Right. And I didn't think you have $1 million, $2 million.
Yeah, I didn't even need to fill out that liquor license either, because I guess that the Mike's Hard that he sells me is 3.2, because I talked to him.
So we're good there then.
What's the difference in premium?
That I don't know.
Roughly.
I think they said it was going to be the same as last year. I just know it was $416 was last year, so I haven't talked to Don. And Brad and Brenda were dealing with that, and then Donovan talked to Jeremy yesterday. So,
but typically that's what we've required is the $1 million, $2 million.
And I agree with you that, you know, $100,000 doesn't go very far when it comes to litigation.
No.
I would support that.
Have you talked to Donnie on the tractor pull, or have you got the railroad company called?
Brad's been dealing with that the railroad. I don't know what Donnie, he hasn't been at any of the meetings. I don't know what they're doing. As far as I know, it's taking care of the tractor pull.
Do you need a motion for that license?
Yes, please.
I'll move to approve the higher limits.
Second.
Okay. Carrie. Okay.
That's it?
Yep.
All right, and just to give you an update on the grants, what we've got in Minnesota Valley Electric, we got $1,000 from them for the second rescue dummy we ordered. The first one we got, that was that $3,000 one, and then we wrote a check to the city from the relief for the other $1,600 to pay that. So that one should be finalized, done. We've got it. We've trained with it already. Works good. DuPont Pioneer Grant, we got a $2,500 grant from them. And we put in for that one, that was for Rescue Randy, which is another training dummy. It doesn't have the medical stuff on it, but that's one we can abuse more. We have a smoke machine with that and two helmets for our captains so we can distinguish who they are. And that was because we had the bids came in less than originally they were, so that's where we got the helmets from. Out of that, the helmets we got last week and the smoke machine and the original Rescue Randy are back ordered. But that whole bill came to $2,487, I think. So that's excluding shipping yet. So with everything, we might have a couple $100 tops probably that'll come out of the training budget for that. Any questions on that? I think we still have all, we're waiting on a FEMA grant and Minnesota DNR and Center Point Energy. We put one in for last month yet. So just waiting to hear back from all of them.
I got one question on just on the claims, the three training mannequins.
Yep.
Was that on any grant?
No, that was, we got a deal out at FDIC. They were $3,060 a piece. But when we were ordering ours, they're looking into it. Carver Fire and Howard Lake Fire were looking into them too. So by ordering three at a time, we were able to get the shipping down and we were able to get the cost down to $2,600 a piece. But that all came through City of Hamburg. The billing did, and then City of Carver and Howard Lake Ambulance wrote checks out to the City of Hamburg. So that's why three of them were shipped here.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That's what that's about.
Okay. I don't know if Brad filled in on the burn that they had last weekend, I think it was.
I heard a few things about it. But
yeah, but he was out there, him and, who's that guy that was with him?
Jason Hansen. He's our new
okay, that
one
was
that
good,
just
yeah.
joined.
Okay.
Thought it'd be a good one to get him to practice driving water truck on.
Yeah.
He get plenty of practice the way it's founded.
He did a good job. Yeah. All right.
That is it for the grants, unless you have any more questions. Light Tower Excelsior Fire had asked to use that. They use it every year. It'll be for their 4th of July. I'll probably just drop it off on my way to work and pick it up on that Monday morning. With that, just wondering, is this something you want brought up to council all the time, or should we just leave it to the fire department's discretion? Or I don't know if it was always brought up before.
Well, it's my understanding that there's been some private usage of that tower. And I personally don't have a problem with another fire department using that. That comes under the heading of mutual aid as far as I'm concerned. But if somebody's going to have a graduation party and you want to use the tower to light up their yard for whatever reason, I think that that's not a good intended purpose. If it falls over on somebody, the city's subject to a lawsuit, something goes wrong with it, who pays to fix it, it's out of service. I think that there should be a policy established where if somebody like Excelsior wants to use it or Carver or whatever, it's legitimate. Function of that requesting department, I don't see a problem with that, but I think we've got to set some rules and some guidelines about private use of it, because a couple of times I've seen it going behind a private vehicle down the road, going someplace out in the country, and I think that that's a bad precedent.
Well, some of it might, with the private vehicle, if we had a call, we might pull it with that too.
But I know what you're saying. There's a red truck following it or ahead of it.
I know what you're saying. So. But I know some... the Relay of Life and NYA, they use it. I mean, some of that stuff, I guess.
And, that's a function, but I mean, for a private family or private function, I don't think that's a good idea.
I guess that's kind of what I'm asking, where we should go with this, or where...
Because I think, if you say, if you have a set of guidelines and you say no to everybody unless they're a fire department or bona fide function, you know, then it's equal. But if you don't have that definite policy, you know, well, you say yes to this person because they're a friend of somebody, or you say no to this person here for whatever reason. I think that, you know, this is a PR thing. You have to have a standard policy in place. Again, the fire department's wanting to use it, coming under the heading of mutual aid. I don't see a problem with that.
Didn't we set something up after the Carver County used it and it didn't come back working?
Well, we signed a mutual agreement with Carver County uses what that was.
Okay.
But wasn't there a problem with the winch or something?
Well, we've had problems before. They got it in, and that wasn't there. That was at that drowning that night in NYA. We got it up and it wouldn't come down. We can always hand crank it, which we did that night, but after we got it in, I don't know what happened. It worked fine the next day, but they took it in and redid the motor on it. And they're thinking it was the motor on the winch.
And the thing is, too, if it's out someplace at a graduation or some kind of a private function and the fire department needs it, you know, you're wasting time going out there to get it. You're putting the people in the dark. You're inconveniencing them. And I guess I don't know how much.
It might be an inconvenience for them, but they'd be under that understanding. For us to use it, it's not a high emergency. It's not like an engine or something. Mm-hmm. It takes us 20 minutes to get it. It takes us usually 20 minutes to get it pulled, all the trucks out, and get out of station anyway. So if we would have to go get it, that time is probably not that crucial, but it's... I'm just wondering where to go with it, because...
Well, do you feel...
Do we want to go into the fire department making discretion, the chief? You want me bringing everything to the council on it?
Do you feel comfortable making that decision on yourself, that you're the chief?
Well, I thought so.
Everything's going to be... It's going to come back on you anyway.
Right. So that's what I'm asking now, is to put it somewhere.
Yeah. No, and Justin, you know, I'm not questioning your authority. I think you're the fire chief. You run the show. I think you should have the final word. If you decide to go to a function with another fire department, I think that you should, you know, you don't have to come and talk to us every time. As far as I'm concerned, I think you should have that latitude in that decision making process.
You're in that position. I think you should be in charge of it.
Well, I don't think there's any issues within Carver County because we have that mutual aid.
Right.
I don't know. Is there anything with Sibley County? You know,
We're in Sibley County Association.
Right. So
and we mutual aid all Carver, Sibley, Plato, Glencoe.
Right. So wherever we have that concept, I don't see issues.
Yeah. In Excelsior, we technically don't have that either.
Right. But that's why I brought it up, because it's Excelsior asking for it, but I don't think we have anything for the Hennepin.
They're in Hennepin County. I mean, they're not really, like I said, they're not really part of our mutual aid association either. I mean, we've always done it before. I guess I wouldn't have a problem with it.
I'm comfortable with whatever decision you make, and I think you should have that authority. I'm just, you know, raising a question of private usage of it.
Right. And that's what was kind of brought up another time.
Everybody comfortable with that? And Justin be in charge of that? I mean, should be.
Put it under the... Yeah. Just that the chief has that say, which is the way it always was, as far as I'm understood.
Yep. You need a motion on that? Or?
I think it'd probably maybe be best just to cover...
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion with the understanding that, you know, private use of it is not included. But anything that's fire department related, or it could be construed as being fire department related, Justin be given the authority to make that decision on his own.
Or charitable.
That would probably be
going back and forth here, Mr. Odoms. Either you give him the authority to make a decision whether it's something that he wants to do, whether it's a fire function, or you're making the city council do it. You're running back. Which is your stance?
What don't you understand about this? I'm saying if it's fire related, he has the authority to make the decision. If it's not fire-related, you know, then I think it should not be allowed. Now, what's so difficult about that?
You're either giving him the authority or not giving him the authority.
Bobby's got the authority if it's fire department-related. If it's going to be for somebody's graduation party, I think he's got to come to the council with that. Or we should just say no private-related events.
Is there a second?
So if I understand the motion, so I'll make sure I can understand. We're going to get grant the fire chief right for mutual aid discretion. That's it. Right?
That's correct.
Okay, I'll second.
Second motion been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Pass.
Thank you for clearing that up. We have a 2-inch valve in the station leaking over engine 11. Had that before. One of our guys works for well drilling company. He says he'll take care of it. But just to let you know if you notice it's leaking, he's going to take care of that. I think with the new member problems we had, I think we finally figured out the background check.
Basically what they did is they revised the laws in 2013, which basically now requires you to do a background check, so they created new forms. So any fire department member, whether new or current, you can do a background check on it. New, you're required now to do a background check. So after we did some investigation and discussion, also what they have in there, if you haven't lived in Minnesota for at least 5 years, now you do a federal search, which requires fingerprints. So you basically need the fingerprints and the plates to be sent along in with the check. So this is where we had the holdup. We were wondering why they're never getting back to us. Well, obviously we didn't have the proper information to send to them because he needs a national background check. So I guess what we're waiting to do for one of them here, you know, moving forward, we know what to do now. But
right.
With this one fire department member that we've approved pending a background check, we need to discuss with him if he's, you know, willing to go through the process of getting the fingerprints done. So it's a new regulation. And I don't think it would be an issue if we didn't have that 5-year clause in there. Because he's only been in Minnesota
four and a half years. It's almost 5.
So
he's right on that verge now. And by the time we go through all that, he'd probably be over the 5 years. At the
do they grant waivers for anything like that? Say if he was a fireman in his other state? Do you know? Have you looked into that?
For what? He was a firefighter.
Will they waive the 5-year requirement for something like that if he was a fireman somewhere else and he's just transferring himself?
I would doubt it. It clearly states.
I mean, usually governmental stuff has some kind of waiver type deal.
It clearly states.
It's pretty clear.
Has resided in Minnesota for less than 5 years.
So
or the fire chief can require it also. So the fire chief.
It could require it in everybody, but you can't say we're not going to do it if it's under the 5 years.
Right. I've seen nothing in there that says that if and ors or buts to this. I don't see no waivers in the statute I've looked at. So.
And so where do they go to get fingerprinted? In the sheriff's office? Or?
They haven't gotten back yet.
Either sheriff's office they can, but I don't know what they're going to charge for the plates because you need the fingerprint plates to be able to send in. And then it's a question of are we covering that cost now? Are they burdening that cost? Or you got to go down to BCA, which basically then now you got to go down to the cities. And I think there was
a $29 charge.
Yeah, $29.50.
Yeah.
Or $28 for volunteer. You know, and then there's the $15 fee for the regular. But I think there's another fee for the plates, for the fingerprint plates. So. I think it's kind of crazy. What's next, eye scan?
Well, it's... Right. And this all just came... I haven't even talked to him yet. We just figured this out on Friday or Monday. So it's just fresh. I haven't talked to him yet which way he wants to go with it. So that's what that is with him. We've got another one that is showing interest called last week. He's not in our fire district. He doesn't work in town, but he is within the 5 minutes. And I talked to the chief over there. He said he's fine with it if they want to join this one. But same with him. I'm waiting on the application until we get this figured out instead of wasting a bunch of time and then having him go redo it all. So there is some interest in joining if we can just get him
See the background.
We'll get them
stuff.
Sure now.
And you can't get them, they can't do anything, I imagine, until they get this passed, right? I mean, you can't ride on a truck or...
Well, we're not going to want it. I mean, you just don't want the liability. Right. What's the point of even starting?
Right.
It's just not worth it. Looking at a 20-year plan, it doesn't pay to rush somebody in over 2 months. If there's nothing more with that, then I believe Chief Draghi is not here tonight because he is being recognized for Firefighters of the Year for our region. And our region covers from Hamburg is the southwest corner. And it's Plymouth or Maple Plain. I know Plymouth is in our region yet, and every department between here and there. So for that whole region for this year, he is being awarded that, and I think they got him tricked out to be there that he's given a deal on Explorers, so I don't think he knows he's getting it yet.
So what was the actual title, Justin, of it?
That's the Region 11 Firefighter of the Year. Is there any more questions for me?
Anything on for the chief on any claims list or anything for bringing up now as long as we do?
What's that check number 16825 Ready Water Electric? Is public safety FD?
That would be for the.
What's it for?
Outdoor warning siren. So we had some repairs there. We had to redo some wiring.
Okay.
And get that up and running because when we did when they started testing it at the first of the month again, ours didn't trip. So we had to come out and look at it. And I got it up and running.
Okay, so it says FD, but that's not really fire department.
Well, it's emergency.
Well, it goes under public safety.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's good. Yeah.
Anything else from Justin?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks,
lady. Thank
you.
Have yourselves a good night.
You as well.
Rick Hansen, Jaguar Communications. Evening.
Good evening. How are we doing tonight?
Good.
Thank you.
While you're getting that information, first of all, my name is Rick Hansen with Jaguar Communications. Jaguar Communications, as you're probably aware, has our own fiber, 96 strands in the Carver Link project, the ring that goes around the county. With that said, Jaguar Communications would like to overlay the community with fiber to the premises to be able to offer telephone, phone, and video services. In the state of Minnesota, to offer video services, we have to have a franchise with the community. State of Minnesota requires a level playing field, so the existing terms and conditions of your existing franchise with Mediacom, Jaguar would have to live by and commit to. That's what basically we're willing to do. I've gotten a copy of the Mediacom current franchise. I've briefly gone through it. I didn't see anything that was out of the ordinary. I've given it to our legal counsel to start to review this and that. But our plan would be to get a franchise, start overlaying this community. Because of weather, we're a little bit behind already this year with a lot of rain, this and that. So right now it'd be probably starting sometime in August and basically start hooking customers up by the time all the fiber splicing's done, this and that. Right in the middle of September. We believe we offer very competitive packages. We've overlaid now about 8 communities, mainly in southern Minnesota. and we also do a lot of residential areas. Just so you're aware, we've been in meetings with the joint, all the townships in Carver County, where we're getting a video franchise so we can start serving the triple play of services to the people along the route. We're going into about four other areas in Carver County this summer, and things are going quite well. Just from a matter of business customers, the residential that we do have on, everything's going very, very well. So I'm just here to introduce myself. Welcome the opportunity to answer any questions you might have about Jaguar, this and that. A lot of times when we do go in and start in a community, we hold like open houses where we can rent a town hall, whatever, set up our services, show people the internet, show people our video product, what we have to offer. Everybody gets on our video, channels 2 through 188. And it's a very robust lineup. And then, of course, we have extras. We got the sports extra package. We got the pay service channels. They also get the music channels as part of the 2 through 188. And then we also offer HD channels. So we do have a lot to offer, but we like to show our product, this and that, have open house, hot dogs, pop, cookies, and things like that, invite the public, come down for a free meal. Works very, very well. We like to partner with organizations in the communities that we serve. We would look to the direction of the city on that. On top of the franchise fee, when I say partner, as an example, a lot of times we are tied in with local schools. So if a customer takes, we'll have an initial sign-up phase where we donate so much per customer. But then as an ongoing thing, we'll donate. So, Mr. Mayor, if you took our services and you took all three, we donate $1 per service taken. So $3 would go to the service organization each month. That's our way of being part. One way of being part of the community. When we do work with schools, we like it to work with their telecommunications department, audio, visual, whatever it may be. Many schools right now are leaning towards getting iPads, laptops for students, this and that, and just be able to keep up with telecommunication service, one way to enhance. In other areas, there's a... one town we donate to the there was not a school. They were part of a consortium or a consolidated school district, and the city kind of, well, you know, the fire department needs some help. We work with them, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it might be 1 year with the fire department, it might be something else down the road. That's one thing we like to do. So with that said, I'd like to formally try to get the process rolling with the council's approval to get a video franchise. I will say this. I've been in the television business for, unfortunately, 30-plus years. And in the cable television business, the cost of programming... we really don't make any money on programming or on the video service. But what we do find with the triple play, even though the internet's truly picked up now with Netflix and all the different programming coming through there, people requiring more bandwidth, the cable television, what we call video services, is the sticky that's very important that holds a customer. We do believe... not too far down the road, the laws are going to be changed on how these services are granted, this and that, because it's outdated. I mean, I go back to the days when franchises were first granted in communities for cable television, and the reason being is cable television was cable television. They didn't offer internet. They weren't into phone. And telephone companies were telephone companies. The only way cable TV could come into a community was for the city to grant a franchise so that the cable company could use the public right-of-way easements. And that's really not the case anymore. Phone companies, we're all aware, they offer the triple play. Phone companies like us, cable television companies all offer now the triple play. Everything's changed. So it's the dynamics of the business, which is probably a good thing. More competition out there. Our low-end service on internet, we right now, when I say low-end service, our starting package is 15 meg download speed, 5 meg up. It's on the information there. And for businesses, this and that, we can work with whatever needs they may be. We've got customers right now that are taking... we've got one school we started off 2 years ago with, as an example, taking a 50 over 50 symmetrical bandwidth service. This year, they've now gone to 200 over 200. And it's the more use of teachers integrating into the classroom, the use of YouTube, whatever it might be as a visual, and then also students requiring bandwidth with their laptops, iPads, and iPads. So any questions that you might have, I truly just wanted to kind of introduce myself. We appreciate City of Hamburg going with Jaguar for the phone services, and we certainly do, are part of them anyway right now. We appreciate that. Of course, you got your bandwidth now coming from Carver Link, which is part of our agreement with Carver County, which we supply all the maintenance for on the fiber network.
So the fact that you have to be on, as you say, a level playing field with the current franchise, as I understand it, we don't have a valid franchise anymore. Is that correct?
We're just working off the old franchise. We just haven't renewed it.
So does that enter in, the fact that we don't have a valid franchise, does that enter in any way, shape, or form?
You know, no, I really don't think so. I mean, it comes down to there's certain things you require an community access channel. I did notice in there, because you're probably not current, the franchise fee. Well, right now, basically the government says you can get a franchise fee up to 5% of the video gross revenue. And that's what I would assume you would probably go with that. And that's some things that we can discuss as we get this process rolling.
What is the length of the contract that you're proposing, or the proposed length of the contract?
We would like to get a minimum of 10 years. They used to be 15, but 10 years, so I don't have to go through the process all the time. And like I said, I got to believe in 5 years' time, I think this whole thing's going to be a lot different. I mean, so much now is coming in over the internet, and that's how we send out our television signal itself. It's IP based, and it's but when you look at all the programming, Hulu and this and that, coming out over the internet, things are changing. Things are changing dramatically.
Do you have exclusivity for the cities that you serve, so that no other cable company, MediaCom wanted to stay here?
Correct.
Can they do that?
All franchises in the state of Minnesota are non-exclusive.
Okay.
Yep. All so right. Anyone can, if CenturyLink, whoever, if Comcast would like to lease fiber to come out here, they can come in here and build a cable system or build the same thing that we'd be doing.
Okay.
Yep.
And looking at this brochure here, it shows that you have to have a minimum of two services?
Minimum of two services. You can get standalone, but there's we do have a one-time activation fee on that.
Okay.
On one service.
What, assuming internet only for that 15.5, what is your monthly charge for that? And if I'm asking you about charges that you haven't come up with it, I apologize.
No. We've got around 2,000 IP customers out there right now, so I've got it here somewhere.
Because I know there was a time when you had to have phone service from CenturyLink in order to get internet, but they've waived that now. You can get internet only from CenturyLink.
Single play bronze internet's $49.95, 15 over 5. And that's why packaging with the phone goes a lot better, because then you can get internet and phone for $64.95. And I'll get prices out to you. Be quite honest, Mediacom is here. We don't want to lay out all our cards right away. The competition normally has a great knack of overcharging you for a long time. Competition will come in and they'll cut their rates by 30-40%.
It happens with satellite companies really often. That happens with satellite companies. Yep. You go to cancel their service and they say, well, we'll charge you, $40 less a month. Well, why didn't you do that, 18 months ago?
We were in a community. We launched our services. We were competing against a company. The standard customer was paying about $145 to $150 for the triple play of services. We went in at the time, this was 2 years ago, launched at $99.99. They came in and said, nope, we'll take you down to $79.99. Well, a lot of people, and we lost some to the incumbent, there's no doubt about it. But a lot of people said, no, they were overcharging us for a long time. If you hadn't come in, I'd still be paying the $145, $150 a month. Yeah. And they went with us. We also make available to people if they want to sign 2-3 year contracts. We will do that where the price is guaranteed. And it's quite risky in the video business because programming rates keep skyrocketing. But if a customer is willing to commit to us, we're willing to commit to the customer.
With the current Mediacom, if the city loses power, the people who have got their phone service through Mediacom lose their phone service. Is that, would we have that same problem with you?
No. The beautiful thing, number one, all the in Carver County, you're served off of what we call three regeneration huts. There's one out here at the county shop on 212. There's one in Victoria, and then there's one up by Watertown. All those have fully equipped standby generators. So if the power does go out, it kicks back in. The other thing is Jaguar just now invested another $350,000 for another phone switch. And the reason this is important, we have a lot of business customers. One of the largest ones we have is Hormel in Hormel Foods in Austin. And we are one of the few companies that I'm aware of that if the main phone switch would go down and you weren't able to make calls, we have a redundant path built right in on in an F3 rated building that's 40 miles away from our main site, that's a mirrored switch. It kicks right in, so all those calls do not drop.
But if I don't have power at my house and I have your phone service, do I have phone service if I don't have power at my house?
No.
Okay.
Depending on the type of phone, of course, but no.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest disadvantages of having internet phone services, that if you lose commercial power, you're out of business. You can't make a 911 call unless you've got your cell phone or something.
You do have, there is built in some standby on it that gives you some time frame. And let me double check on that a little more and see what I can get for an answer on that. Because phone's not my expertise. But I'll get you an answer.
Okay. Do you, for your internet service, do you have a certain amount of bandwidth that you can use a month, and then you have to pay more after that? Is there a cap?
No. The other beautiful thing about fiber is when I say you're getting 15 meg over 5, you're not on a shared network.
Mm-hmm.
By that I mean when we say we're giving you 15 meg down and 5 meg up, you're getting 99.9% of the time that exact bandwidth, because you're not part of a node where there's more customers off that node and everybody's downloading some movie off Netflix at the same time. All of a sudden, your internet starts to crawl.
Right.
You're getting the 15 over 5.
And that's one good one thing about, I've got CenturyLink internet.
Yep.
And, I mean, I've always got a consistent speed, whereas when I had MediaCom internet, you know, as people came over on weekends or if it was raining out and people were on their computers more, my speed slowed way down.
No, it's
like, yours
this
is
dedicated
technology.
This is our technology. Okay. It's basically on what they call a PON system. We feed 32 customers off of PON, but with that said, if you're buying 1505, you get 99% of that 1505 at all times.
Do you ever envision offering a la carte programming?
That's not our call, and the reason I say it's not our call is programmers do not allow us to, and
I mean, that's good enough answer. If they don't allow you, you can't do it.
It's a national thing. They do not allow it. Okay. So
isn't that being discussed right now at the FCC?
Well, there's been talk. Like I said, I've been in this a long time. It started 10 years ago. It doesn't move. There's strong. I don't see it happening for a while. I really don't. The programmers are pretty strong. And then you've got the big boys like the Comcast, the Time Warners. Not only do they sell to you or whatever, but they own a lot of that programming that they sell. So they get it on one side or the other. And an independent company like us, even though we're members of the National Cable Television Cooperative, where we get buying groups of small operators, we've got 4 or 5 million customers that we represent, you still just don't have the girth and the power to get the great rates.
So what's on
the good rates?
Yeah. So these channels here, 1 through 182 or whatever, or 2 through 188, that's basically the channel package that you're offering?
Yes.
Okay. And so there's no reduction of channels or, I mean, you can have movie channels, obviously, but I mean, you can't take the top 20 or the top 30.
No, you can't. The only thing is you can get what we call our lifeline basic, the 2 through whatever it is, channel 23 or whatever, in the gray square on the top and left corner.
And then do you have to have a set-top box for each TV?
Yep, and I can bring one up to show you. The IP box, the DVR box is a little bigger. It's about this wide and about that high. I can get you information on how much storage on movies or on programming it has.
Rick, is it on your website?
I believe it is, and we just updated the website, so it should be. But if not, I will get some stuff out to you. Actually, I probably should have bought one. And then the non-DVR box is, it stands about yay high, and it's about that wide.
And you charge extra for that per month then?
The standard is you can get one DVR box for free, or you can get two set-top boxes for free, and the additional set-top boxes are $4.95 each per month.
Okay, so if you got four TVs, you got to pay $2.95.
You got another $9 or whatever, $10. For.
And lastly, local access for the city, is that being provided? Did I hear you say that?
Yeah, I saw that in the agreement, and we do that with communities where then they'll have their own channel, this and that, and here what we try to do, and I don't know what your condition was with MediaCom, if you had access to it to put information on, do students here go to high school Norwood or... where then it could be tied in with the school there, so lunch menus and all that are on. But there would be an access channel. Correct?
Jeremy, one time, I think you and I talked a long time ago about that capability existed with MediaCom, that they would foot the bill for televising our council meetings or something. Wasn't that part of the franchise?
They will provide the equipment.
The equipment, okay.
And does your company do the same?
We don't do so much of that, but that can be part of conversations that we have.
That's something we can lay out in a franchise agreement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of that, Rick, do you have a sample franchise agreement that you guys use you can send me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then also probably going to be looking at, probably want something, I'm sure you guys put something together for working in right of way, you know, for the installation. And then I'll check with our planner to see what all needs to be
here. Once
up.
Again, you know, our GIS department comes, meets, here's the proposed routes, this and that, get approvals before all that starts. Because no matter what, even with digital drilling and that right now, there's going to be a phone call or two, this and that. I'm not going to try to hide that from you. It happens.
Yeah.
All our plant, I will say this, is underground. We put everything in underground. We do not have what we call high-rise pedestals. All ours are flush-mounted vaults.
What's out here?
Yep. All ours are flush-mounted vaults that we use. It's a little more of a headache in the winter, but at the same time, and they're all GPS'd and on our mapping systems, this and that. So, but they're aesthetically, to me, a lot more appealing than pedestals that get hit by snow plows and snowmobiles and cars and everything else.
Rick, it's $49.95 for internet only if you have the cable TV only. Do you know what that price is?
Yeah, that is, that's priced quite high. And the reason being, that's priced at $79.95.
Okay.
And the reason being on that, quite honestly, is the equipment we put at the house, the ONT, the electronics, this and that. By the time we're done installing this and that, we've got roughly about $1,000 in at that customer's home.
Mm-hmm.
It is expensive, but people, when we get customers on our fiber network, they don't move.
Mm-hmm. And so the wire that goes from here to Norwood, after it leaves Hamburg and goes down 31 into Norwood in America, those people that are, quote, in the country between here and Norwood, can they sign up to your service then or not?
And that's what I've been working on. We should have the franchise agreement. All the townships were going in. They could opt in, opt out. But this would legally let us, there's been some, be able to offer the triple play of services. We're currently already starting to hook up residents along the route, and there's a lot of homes on the route.
Outside of city limits.
Outside the city limits, yes. And then, like I said, there's four areas that we're looking to go into. The other community that is somewhat lacking in services is New Germany. We're going to go in and overlay that this summer, and if time permits, at one time we were going to do Norwood Young America this summer. That project was pulled this summer from our standpoint because of a big project that came in, but that'll be done next summer along with probably two or three other communities up here.
So you're looking to get us going conceivably by fall?
And we're starting, the way I look at it, we're starting west and moving east. The stuff on the east, I mean, they've got a lot more services than what's out here in the western part of the county.
Okay. Thanks for your information.
And you can get with Jeremy on a date when you want to set up for a little get-together.
Yep, and I'll be in conversation, Jeremy, if that's fine. Keep the process rolling. Be able to update on...
I'll touch base with our planner to see what requirements will be for basically the installation and that. And the only other thing I want to make you aware of, Rick, what we have right now is like a joint agreement with MediaCom between our franchise with MediaCom is with Norwood, Young America, and Hamburg.
That's how that franchise agreement works.
That's fine.
So, yep. I guess, because we run off the same local access channel, we have a guy that runs that. So we might kind of want to...
And like I said, we're going into Norwood Young America, so sure. That won't be a...
Okay.
Get them in home with it, yeah.
And I'm not sure... Do you remember the attorney's name that the city's using on that? Are they using Bob Vos?
I don't know. I'm not aware of that. I know
that's
the
fine.
City there has switched attorneys now, so...
Yeah. Any other questions?
I
appreciate the time and look forward to working with the city of Hamburg and the residents of Hamburg and get a lot of businesses. And
that'd be good.
Here we go.
We're looking forward to getting hooked up and getting it online, you know.
Sounds great.
I guess we appreciate you guys coming in and actually speeding up the process a little bit there. Mm-hmm. I thought it might be a year or two out yet, but it's great to hear that possibly this fall already.
Right.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Okay. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, and have a great evening.
You too. Well, we've got the RFPs to provide sanitation services for residential and commercial customers. Elite Waste Management or Disposal. Come on up in your chair. And did you sign in yet? Okay.
I did, thank you.
Okay, great. Okay. We've sent out some proposals and stuff, and what have you got for us?
Well, I submitted it to Jeremy last.
And basically, what I've done is put a comparison chart together, so I kind of use that. but it kind of goes off. So basically, what we were looking is to be able to provide 32-gallon containers, 64-gallon containers, 96-gallon containers, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8-yard dumpsters. And then also what I looked at is any annual increases and if there'd be any gas surcharges and basically any other notes. As you can see, Elite came in at roughly about 2 to 3%. On average, a little bit lower than Waste Management on the containers. Where really the big difference is in the dumpsters. Basically, Elite would have a consumer price index increase in year 3 of the contract.
Correct.
And then what Waste Management was proposing would, I guess, Mike, if you just want to grab a chair and jump in. If you guys don't mind, we can kind of go back to back here. And I guess council can then, if they have any questions or concerns, then can throw them out there. But basically, then with Waste Management, they are looking at a 2.5% increase in years 2 and 3. No gas surcharge on either of them. Only other note would be is we'd have Monday pickup for both from Waste Management, and Thursday pickup is what Elite would propose for a garbage pickup. Other than that, there's other things we discussed, I guess, between the both of you. None of you have any issues in relation to the requests from the RFPs as far as what was spelled out in the request for proposals as far as providing service for the city.
Correct.
And one of the things that we've done in the past, on top of the free service that we've provided, we've also done the pancake breakfast, rib fest, and fish fry at no charge. We continue offering that as well as part of it. We just kind of tied those in the past.
And I think in the RFP we set up to 5 community type events.
Okay. For the In regards to the price increases, the reason I go with the 2.5% is I started getting beat up over the CPI part of it, because what's the CPI going to be? How do you budget for a CPI increase? That's why I just went to a flat increase, and now everybody knows exactly what it's going to be from year to year.
Why is there such a dramatic difference? And because you're... Dumpster prices are, in some cases almost twice what waste managements are. Is there a particular reason?
Well, I guess I can't really speak to waste management's pricing and how they come up with that for us.
But it's the same. Your dumpster is basically the same as theirs, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But, I mean, so that's where I see the big disparity here. The residential containers, you know, they seem to be, you know, pretty much even. But there's really quite a difference between waste management's dumpster prices and yours. I think, to me, that would be the deal breaker with Elite because of the I don't know how many dumpsters we have, Julie.
I guess I don't know. Do you know anybody? It'd be more so probably the businesses that
the
are using that.
Businesses, rural customers, like, would be. Yeah. The rural wouldn't fall under the city contract, but we'd still offer something similar.
So it'd probably be William Miller's and Sons. I think Timberline would probably as one.
The apartments.
Apartments, you know, or duplex even possibly may have fourplex. I don't know if Farm Supply has any dumpster service.
I believe they do.
How many dumpsters do we have at the community hall a year?
Well, that's at no charge, so.
Oh, okay.
You know,
that's what we have built
into the RFP that they'd be providing service, you know, to the city at no cost.
One of the things that I can say in regards to it, and I can't, like Tracy said, I can't speak to them. We have a strong presence not only in Hamburg, we're in the surrounding communities, we're down in Glencoe, we're in Green Isle with our commercial services. Because we're there already, it gives us a little bit of ability to absorb some of the cost and spread it out amongst everybody, rather than if you're just going into a city to handle one area. Like I said, I don't know how much they're up this way, but if you're going into one area, it costs you more just to go to that one area and then come back. We're already in the area. We're out at the Spruce Ridge landfill dumping. So everything for us is centralized, and based on our onboard computing system, we route things in a very efficient manner to be able to allow us to offer a place like that.
I guess as a city resident, I'm totally happy with the way waste management has picked up my recycling and trash for the last 7 years. As a city official, I guess I got a bad taste in my mouth over this spring cleanup day that we had a year or so ago where we didn't anticipate getting charged $1,500 or whatever it was, and all of a sudden we get this bill and all the council members are saying, what's this? We thought that was included. Now, if we didn't check it out, yeah, that's partially our fault. But I said, that's the only negative thing that I have that I have a feeling about with waste management. Otherwise, I think your service is outstanding.
And I can defend that, and I can work with Jeremy and I have talked about that one right after it happened. Mm-hmm. We weren't expecting a guy to come in with a flatbed truck full of tractor tires and drop them on you.
Right.
If it would have just been the disposal fee, it was cheap. You guys were working out like a bandit, but when a guy fills a 15-yard dumpster and part of a 20-yard dumpster with tractor tires or semi-tires,
and I think that
killed us.
I think the city, more so to be honest, would be on the hook more than waste management on that, because of the original part of that was not to allow tires. I mean, when we met, we discussed that, but the city wanted to allow that.
And that's where we kind
of... where, like you said, it probably would have been quite a minimal bill if we wouldn't have had that. And plus, we had so few items that came in as far as appliances and those type things, where typically you have a chart and a listing that lays out the cost of each of those appliances or items. Well, because we didn't have much, city agreed to just pick up that tab. But where we got hit hard was the tires.
And it was just, and it was
because that went on weight.
11:30 in the morning, we're done at 12, and 11:30 in the morning, a guy rolls up with a flatbed full of them, and that's what killed us. But if we'd went forward doing it, one of the things I noticed in there was to provide a price list. We would put a price list together for you. There'd be a fair price list for the residents. It'd be cheaper than to have them, you know, hauled somewhere else. But electronics and appliances would be in it. Tires are the other one because they're harder to get to dispose of. The nice side of that is all those tires, they didn't end up in a ditch or on the side of the road somewhere.
Right.
They got hauled away. It was an expense, but you also would have had to go out and have somebody pick that up. But yeah, that's
probably
we talked
took away
about
some mosquito haven somewhere.
There was some other stuff that was hauled in. There was a little bit of stuff.
Yeah, the big stuff, the big thing was the one that was the expense was the tires.
Yeah.
Everything else was minimal.
Yeah.
The truck we had wasn't even close to that, which that's 8-9 tons that they could get in that truck.
Yeah.
wasn't even close to full, so we were okay with that. So the tonnage would have been a low price on that one. But the tires just killed us. And that was, like I said, the last minute thing and kind of caught us with our pants down. And we learned from that going forward.
Excuse me, Tracy?
Yes.
Just on the dumpsters, I don't know if you've got like the 2011 quote that we got from you.
The 2011 quote?
Yeah.
I actually left that out of my office.
But I'm just kind of curious. You know, the 2 yard in 2011, the proposal was, you know, 59. Now it's 90, 48. There is a very big increase there.
That's 80%. That's quite a large increase over 3 years.
Maybe you could explain to me maybe why. Or
you know, honestly, you're right. It is a big increase. And honestly, I wasn't involved in the 2011 pricing.
Okay.
So I apologize. I can't.
I think
see.
Jeremy's going to get you. You can kind of see the big differences from 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's like Councilman Odom said. That's a real tough one to understand and to pass on to the ones we've got here in the town.
Yep, you are correct. That is quite
very significant increase.
That is quite a difference. To be honest with you, like I said, I wasn't involved with this.
I know, but at least you can see
pricing,
the comparison.
I very much agree with you. Really, it speaks to what Mike was talking about before in that residentially, we are already out here. And
right,
so
but you don't.
Commercially, we are, just not quite as much. So that's the reason for the pricing of the commercial dumpsters.
But I mean, 3 years ago, probably was the same situation.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
You know,
I totally agree with you, and I apologize. I don't really have an answer, as I wasn't involved.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I'm just trying to.
It's a absolutely a fair question. I just really don't know the answer, so I apologize.
Otherwise, both of you are very competitive. It's just that that's a tough one there. So, you know, should I say that we don't have that many businesses in town, and they give them another. But that's something we got to discuss yet. You know.
Well, I do know that we offered the same pricing for the 64-gallon and for the 96-gallon. The same rates offered to the residential customers would be offered to the commercial customers if they were had those carts, so we could, you know, probably work something out with them.
So they'd be better off having two, say, 96-gallon ones than
depending upon their needs, yeah, definitely we could work something out that way with them.
That's one way to think about it.
Do either one of you offer the organic pickup?
Yeah.
You do?
Oh, you do. If the entire city was to go with it, we offered at $8 a month.
Oh, okay. I know that it got brought up before. I don't know how interested it was, but it did get brought up before.
What was it, the Twin Cities or Minneapolis wanted to go 100% on it?
Hennepin County is pushing that one big time right now. I believe in 2015.
It's kind of mandatory. Isn't it?
Yeah. I believe it's 2015 or 2016 is mandatory.
We did a pilot program in 2012 offering organic service to our customers, and we had at the time we sent it out to our compost customers, and there was about 425 compost customers at the time that we sent it out to them, and only one person signed up for organics out of the 425. So it's on the brink, and it's going to start to become mandatory, but it's just not there yet,
right.
And people just aren't necessarily
here yet.
It's not high demand, I guess.
Yeah.
Is what I'm
I have a city right now with 13,000 residents, and they've got 1,200 people signed up for it. It's in Hennepin County, and they're a very progressive area. They're very big on their recycling. It just hasn't caught on like they thought it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the challenge. Are people out here going to want it? I would say look at it for the next proposal, or even if you accept one of our proposals, start working with it and see what gauge the interest. Because if you've got three or four people, it's not worth it.
Right.
If you've got an entire community saying, yeah, we want this, we need to go to it, perfect time to add an addendum to the contract and add that as a service as an add-on.
Yeah, you'd be sending all the separate truck
yep.
for that service just for
right.
one or two,
yeah.
you know, a few people. So for it to be very cost-effective, you'd have to have...
Tracy, how often do you guys pick up the recycling bins?
The recycling, was that your question? Is every other week.
Is that single sort too? Or?
Correct.
Mike, you pick up residential Monday and commercial Tuesday.
Commercial right now, it's been out there on Tuesday, so nothing would change for what we're doing. We are available Monday through Friday if somebody needed an extra pickup or for whatever reason needed to get dumped again or got for ads. If we missed, we're out there the next day to get it anyhow. But we're available Monday through Friday, but Tuesday is kind of a normal out day.
Well, they've answered a lot of questions here. So
yeah.
That was good. I like that.
Well, is there any other questions for either Waste Management or Elite?
I think we'll... Jerry, in our RFP, mm-hmm. that we put together, is there anything in there that would preclude us from... Because, and the reason why I bring this up is because with Waste Management coming in twice a week, and the lead only going to come in once, where we could go residential with one and commercial with the other, or is that not something that we could consider?
Why would you want to do that? You got, I think that confuses the issue then.
I guess I don't know what would be the reasoning for changing.
You get the best pricing on both sides of the fence. We keep good pricing for our businesses in town, and we keep a lower price for our residents.
Well, I don't know about that, because you might have to distinguish separate RFPs for that.
That's the reason I'm asking.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, the consumer difference is
back
so
on
small,
what we solicited for.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should get in trouble doing that.
No. That's the reason I asked the question.
You know, maybe future, maybe that's what we want to consider or do. You know, do our RFPs for residential, RFPs for
and the
commercial.
Reason why, like I said, the reason why I brought it up is because...
It would be the best of both worlds.
Well, now, since Waste Management does come twice in a week, one for one and one for the other, where Elite comes on the same day for both. It's not going to make a difference on a road.
Pretty sure you have to do separate RFPs.
Yes.
Is there any other questions for the disposal people? Are we going to take this under advisement and then get back to them on this? Or?
Well, I guess what I would ask, are you guys okay if the council waits until their July 8th meeting to make a decision? Any
I'd like
objections?
To see a decision tonight, but I can wait till the 8th.
Any objections to that or concerns? Or
this starts August 4th, is that correct?
It would be August 1st.
1st?
Yeah.
Yes, we can wait as long as you
would second
think.
Tuesday in
July.
It's
early, July 8th.
Yeah,
it's the 8th right away, so kind of got 3 weeks in there to make arrangements.
That would be good. That would be great. That way Jeremy can get a hold of you and let you know what the council has come up with. And we'll from there. If that's good.
If you have further questions, feel free to email or send, have Jeremy communicate them to us. And
have you got any questions for us?
No. The only thing, you know, I'd like to thank you guys for allowing us to call for you guys for the last 7 years. We appreciate it. We don't take it for granted. We do continue to reinvest in our technology. That's part of why our price is probably a little bit higher. We've added some things in training. We've got our drive cam, which it's reduced accidents by 27%.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an onboard computing system. We can tell where guys are. It's a GPS that tells them if they stop at a house. It actually shows them stop and tells you time, stuff like that. We have a waste watch program which allows the drivers to be trained on noticing things in the community that don't look right, whether it's criminal, whether it's somebody having a medical emergency, just some of those things. That's why our pricing is typically higher. We're a leader in the trash and recycling industry. Our facility up in Minneapolis is state of the art. That's why our prices aren't always the lowest. We just keep reinvesting, and that's part of it. But I'd like to thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Do we have any issues down where our down by the bank there? Are those getting emptied on a regular basis?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just had the one time where it slipped through the cracks, but otherwise
operator error. My
fault.
I entered the ticket. I know I entered the ticket because I told Jeremy, I said, I'll try to get it entered air tomorrow. I entered it in. I think my phone rang. I asked the phone. I went out of it and went on to the phone call. Thought I did the ticket. Jeremy sends me an email. I'm just like, there's not a ticket. And what happened?
But usually it's within a day.
You're the one?
I'm operator. The upside is there was rain this weekend. And hopefully it cut back on some of the crowd. I take complete responsibility for that one. But of all the different things I've done for Jeremy, I've never heard a complaint as far as a resident goes.
No, I've had no issues. And
I'll take the one bad on this one.
Maybe the one, but really it wasn't
too
earth-shattering. I mean,
more than 7 years isn't bad.
Yeah, that's exactly.
We really appreciate you guys coming out and these estimates and stuff. And Jeremy, you will go from there.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Old city business. NIMS training program you heard about?
I told you about that, so don't even start with me.
No. We did hear about it.
You missed that.
I did number 700, and I took the test, and I failed it the first time, so I went back to do it a second time, and I went back into I went back and looked up the answers, and I still failed with their own answers. So I don't know what the deal was.
He's on it.
So I'm working on it.
All right. Wonderful.
City assessment policy.
Nothing on that. Yes.
Generator for the lift station.
I believe we have that all lined up for Friday. To get
as it is
finally
right now,
put to bed, hopefully.
We know how things go, right?
So hopefully Friday, everything. I believe Rob's is coming Thursday.
Rob's is coming Thursday. Greg's digging the hole tomorrow. I flagged it tonight. So, and the reason Rob's is coming on Thursday instead of Friday is because it's such a confined space to have Rob's and the generator company and Floyd Security there. Rob said they can do theirs early. So they're coming out on Thursday to wire up the post, put a light on the pole down there that will work during a power outage as well as during the commercial power. They're going to bury the wiring. Floyd is going to take and hook up to the additional two contacts on the lift station, and hopefully by this time on Friday night we should be all done.
And I think also with that, with Floyd's, are they going to come out Friday now then with the last email and look at maybe an external?
They are going to put an external antenna on there, yeah.
But I did talk, I forgot to mention that to you, but I did talk to them on Friday about that. Because they sent out a signal. They send out these test calls daily, I think twice a day.
Much
and they were getting no signal.
Well, I got a call.
At the water treatment plant. So then me and Greg went and looked, and we didn't see no problems. The plant was operating fine.
Well, it happened twice. The first time was long range antenna. Then I went back and reset it. And the next day it happened again. It was like cloudy. So some days it was overcast and stuff for some reason. Or not. It's happened like three other times before, I think.
Yeah.
They've got the antenna inside the building on the panel itself. So what they're going to do is they're going to take and run a cable and put it on the outside of the building. So that should solve that problem. Plus, if either that system or the lift station system doesn't send their regularly scheduled test within an hour of that test not being sent, I will also get a text message. So that should preclude you from being bothered.
Well, it's not bothered, but it makes me curious.
Yeah. And the other thing is, those two systems each had account numbers. I didn't even know what they were. But we've changed it now, so instead of having to know both account numbers for both systems and which one is which, one account number, 55339, our zip code, is the passcode or the account number for either one of those systems, if you get asked.
Okay. So you answered the flagpole wiring? And
that would be taken care of also, yeah.
Yep. Yep. So everything should kind of be taken care of. The only question I got is, in discussing with Greg, 4 or 6 foot fence, I'm thinking 4 foot would look better, just enough where to cover it, so it's not so big and gaudy. So at least, you know, you're just kind of covering that, where at least you see the park yet, and now you just have this big. Because we're thinking 4 foot would be enough just
four
to kind of
cover the generator.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Then I think so. You get a big 6 footer there, you can't see past it, you know.
You thinking like a picket fence or a solid fence?
I think solid.
Solid.
You're looking like at a plastic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's
yeah.
A couple posts and the covers and the.
Yeah.
Sounds probably like a good plan.
Yeah. Public works and utilities. Great.
Shut down. We got done doing our second dump of the ponds Monday morning. All ponds are at a nice low level now. We dumped 8 million gallons of water in the month of May, which is a huge relief because they were way over. The new valve was installed that you guys know of. It's working very well. Right now we're just I'm transferring water between 1, 2, and 3 just to equal them out, and hopefully we don't get these big rainfalls all the time. We won't be pressed for our fall dump. You know, yeah. I mean, like I said, everything right now is going good. Sunshine and everything stays out. A lot of it evaporates too or whatever. So I purchased some spray for out there. There's a lot of trees out there. My plan for that is the next day when there's no wind, I'm going to spray all the trees, basically the foliage and the bark, and kill them. And then what I would like to do is I would like to get Sentence to Serve out there and cut them, because there's about 1 million trees growing all the way around. I don't know if you guys have been out there, but it's going to be a big project. But I was going to cut them first and then try and spray the stumps, and with talking to UFC, they said no, spray them and kill them first, because otherwise it won't kill them and they'll just sprout back.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's my plans on that now that the water's down. So, city garage door.
And I guess Greg might just put in, just so council knows, that claim 16815. What Greg talked about, that's where we changed the valve there for the discharge. So
yeah,
it was quite an expense. Yes, but it was something that probably should have been done years ago.
Yeah. Well, we had to do something because it was leaking past the old valve anyway, which is considered a bypass. So
yeah,
it needed to be addressed, and that was actually. It's either shut that pond off and dig it up and replace the one that's down in the hole, or you put another one, and that was our cheapest.
Yeah, and to open and close that valve, you were spending 2 to 4 hours, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
To open a valve.
Yeah. And dangerous.
Yeah.
You're down in a
hole.
10-foot hole and using a pipe. And
it technically wasn't a one-man job.
No. Well, like I said, it was actually leaking behind that anyway. It wasn't just the valve, so that whole thing would have had to have been redone. So I guess that was our best option. It works good now. I mean, it turns so easy. That's all it should be. So yeah, it was an expensive thing, but with talking to a couple other people, they said that's what they are. I said, them valves are very expensive, and you know, so.
Well, just the safety issue out of not going down in a hole by yourself.
Yeah, well, like I said, or I know Dennis at that time You know, he was down with the pipe, and the pipe slipped, and he knocked himself out, and there he laid down in the hole. Well, guess what? You can drown down in that hole, too, with the water coming out. You know, like I said, it's just, it was a potential injury or something waiting to happen, so it's a good thing it's fixed. Makes it a lot easier, a lot faster, saves a lot of time, so. The city garage door, I got one bid. I had two people come and look at it. One guy couldn't match the door because there were no numbers or anything on it, so now I'm going to get him back because basically I talked to you about that before. I think the way to go is to replace the whole door. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the three panels to try and match them are going to be more than the whole door. With that, Friday we had a big rain, and it blew the other door, busted the track and everything else. The whole door was pushed in 3 inches.
Just the pressure of the water coming.
You can see, if you look at the doors, you can see where the water level was. And I came to work and kind of looked, I'm like, what the heck? I pressed the button and it made a goofy noise, and I looked, and like, and the whole thing was pushed in. There's like a 2x8 that's mounted inside on the block walls, and the pressure just blew the whole thing back.
Well, it was 2 inches in about 50 minutes, so.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I, that was something. But anyway, that's going to be another expense. What needs to be done is that door needs to be basically taken off, disassembled. It's not the one that's already damaged. It's the other one. Taken off, disassembled, springs taken off in order to replace that. I got to push back for now. And until that happens, I'm just going to put a couple metal plates on there to try and hold it in case of another rain event. Because we don't want the thing laying on the floor down there.
Does our insurance cover that, Jerry?
Probably what?
I don't know what the deductible is. I already got a price of $300 to do the labor to take everything down, and I don't know what the deductible would be.
50?
50? 250. Oh, 250. Yeah. I guess that's.
Doesn't matter. If council want to pursue 50
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's up to you. Like I said, it was.
We're already on the radar.
Yeah, like I said, $300 for the labor basically to take it all off, replace the 2x8 or whatever, and then put everything back on.
Is the door company going to do that, Tom?
Well, that's just from the one bid that I got. That was.
So have the other person do that as an alternative bid, too.
Yeah. I got, like I said, I got to call him back now because he can come back and give me a price of a whole new door because he couldn't find.
Is he local? Is he the one?
Norwood. Yeah. Yeah. So. And I guess I'm going to bring it up now with that. I know we had some complaints about water down in there. Two times in 2 weeks, that shop flooded big time. Stinky, muddy water. With talking to Larry Miller today, that our drain system is hooked up to the storm sewer. The storm sewer, which is illegal, that's an illegal hookup. You can't have a garage hooked to a storm sewer. He said years ago, the city did what they wanted. They didn't do what the law said, whatever that was.
So that water that's coming in through the floor drains is coming from the storm sewers?
That storm sewer. That's hooked into the storm sewer in the back of the building. And the...
So that hose that we thought went to a creek, it's not using that?
What's that?
The tiling that we thought went to
the
a
storms,
creek?
Yeah, the storm sewers end up in the creeks.
Okay.
Basically.
It should be going in the sanitary sewer.
Yeah, all our drains should be going into the sanitary sewer.
The only thing should be going into the sanitary is no water coming out of your sink.
Yeah.
You know, technically.
Because we don't
have... back up.
Yeah, right.
Because we don't have that.
We don't have water coming out of our toilet, and we don't have water coming out of the shower drain. Every other drain, all the muddy water comes out through. And so that's... Actually, Larry Miller said they put dye in there, and then they looked in the storm sewer, and... The storm sewer was all dye, so he knows that that's where it's hooked to.
So what I was thinking during after we talked is maybe what we should do is put some dye in that toilet and flush it and go check that manhole on the street, to see if that is running into the sanitary.
Well, see, there's this old Kirshen drainage ditch. Remember those words yet?
Yes.
And that's where that was supposedly that it went.
That's the mysterious drainage system in Hamburg.
Yeah. Because that went out down here past yeah. Robert Buckentine and out to that ditch.
Yeah, that's where it's hooked into. Yeah. And what happens is that shop down there, then things are lower, so when that gets taxed or overloaded, guess yeah. what?
Bloop, bloop.
Everything comes up. And the thing of it is, it's very, well, like Larry Miller said, if the Minnesota Department of Health would come into that basement and look at the mold in the walls and the mold in the sheetrock, he said they'd shut the place down. He said they wouldn't even let you operate.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I know that's true.
We got some big health concerns going on in the hall.
It's nasty down there.
There's mold growing on the walls.
It smells. I could scrape the mold off the walls with a thing. I mean, if you go in the pop room, all the sheetrock is black, and now it's white mold growing on there like that. It's bad. Not to mention the doors don't open and close anymore because they're all swollen up. They're, you know, the frames are... It needs to be fixed. We can't keep operating like this. I mean, it's a health concern for me that I'm not comfortable with.
Well, yeah, and I think that should be our biggest concern is, you know, you
but
gotta
it's not
be
just,
there.
It's not just me. I mean,
anybody.
That mold.
I mean, fishing club.
That mold goes.
Circulates. Yeah. Yeah.
Circulates. That's in the whole building. No, I'm not. I know I'm not allergic to mold, or I'd be sick already. But there are people that are allergic to mold that get sick very easily, and. Even if you have a wedding dance or something like that, you've got that crap circulating in there. Guess what? People are going to be getting sick when they come to some function there. And it's just, not to mention, you know, everything's got to be up off the floor. I try and keep the place clean. I'm not even going to wash the floors this summer anymore. I mean, it's just mud tracks everywhere, but you wash the floors and a week later, bam, here it is. You know.
We're probably on the threshold that we have to get some professionals down there to clean it up.
Yeah, I would say, and a lot of the paneling and the sheetrock are going to have to be cut and tossed at least 4 feet up because you can just look. I mean, it's black. I'm not just imagining things. If you guys go down there, well, Bob, you've changed pop down there. You could see everything is all black.
Yeah, it's all. I mean, yeah, like you said,
now it's white mold growing on top of the black mold, and it's
the biggest problem is those spores are all over the place, circulating through the building, like you said. And if we have somebody with an immunocompromised lung or something, that could put them in the hospital with some kind of exacerbation, either asthma or COPD or whatever.
Yeah,
so it's just not a good, that has to be done soon.
Yeah, it's just not a good situation for anybody involved that uses the hall, and especially for me, that's down there every day. I'm not going to lie to you. I go in there, I try and do my paperwork, and I get out because it just, it stinks. It's always wet. It's,
damp. It's just...
Yeah. And it's been going on forever. I mean, it's since the building was built. You know.
Well, you had that down when the fire trucks were down there.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, you guys put that thing in there, and I think that catches a lot of it. So I don't think it's coming through the doors. It's bubbling out of the thing because, like I said, the water's clean that's coming down by them doors. Yeah. It's muddy, slimy, slop inside of the shop. So that's coming out of that's the backup from the tile from the old Kirshen drainage ditch, I think, is what's happening. And it's gross, you know. I mean, everything is just black mud and dirt and mold and I don't know. It's something that I know we probably don't have money to fix right now, but it's something I think we should try and get some professionals in there to see how to correct it.
I guess so.
And try and budget it, I think.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, looking at a safety and health issue, the standpoint the city's in, when we had a surplus last year, I think that surplus from last year needs to correct this issue immediately. As far as I'm concerned, this is an issue that needs to be taken care of. We can't sit there and go, well, in 4 years, we'll have enough money, then we'll fix it. It's a health concern.
No,
it is a health risk.
No, yeah, like I said, it's not just
me.
I think it's anybody that uses it because, like I said, I mean, there's people, you know, you got that sportsman's club that comes down and has their meetings, but you also have, in a wedding dance, you got bartenders that go down there, and, you know, I mean, it's, like I said, if
a lot of people are going to be exposed
yeah.
to it.
You know, the shop door's open during the day if you guys just want to walk around and take a look at the concrete walls. They're all black on the bottom. And
well, they had to clean them off that time before they did their fish fry.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, it's just a, it's an ongoing issue. And if we keep getting that water coming up, it's never going to go away. I mean, we got to, you know, I don't think we would get that much that would come between the doors if it ran down the thing. The issue we got now is coming up through the drains. And, you know, I don't even know, I was kind of looking at the piping today. You know, we got that standpipe basically in the bathroom. So, you know, depending
you can't
on...
just connect into that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking...
You know, cut some concrete.
We flush that hydrant to make sure that that's running to the sanitary. Cut off them drains and somehow inside, instead of having to dig up the street and run a whole new line and into the building and talk a major cost, we can somehow connect it into the building.
Put in a sump pump or something.
You know, or sump pump, or even if we have sanitary line that's in the floor.
We do have a sanitary line in the floor,
so
that's
can,
for all the toilets and everything.
Yeah,
all come,
we can
all
just
dump
tap
right
into
down
that
down
and rip up some concrete floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
versus ripping up a street and a new line, and then we're talking big costs. So
yeah,
we're trying to find a
but depending on where it goes out of the building, I mean, it would be super if it went right out the back of that building by that furnace.
Right, where we could just
cut the concrete, cut it off,
tap into her,
and go over. I mean, that would be the.
I'd say then just go ahead and start making a plan, put it in play.
Yeah.
Do you have any diagrams where that piping is?
Well, we kind of looked at plans
typically
today.
You know, like when you have a plumbing, you know, like with a permit, that's a problem. When you have a plumbing, like even your house, you don't have that.
Are they cast iron pipes underneath there?
I would guess they would.
Then you could
I would
get
guess
a,
they
if
would.
You get a metal detector,
maybe, yeah.
They probably are.
I would have to think so. As back in the 60s, yeah, it's probably that duct.
I would guess that's it.
That iron duct.
So then a metal detector should be able to.
So hopefully, yeah, you can pick it up that way.
Well, I agree with Chris. We got to, you know, we got to make a plan and get moving on this because I think we're opening the city to some liability here. We know that that's there, and we're still allowing people to be there.
Well, I know you were at the wedding or something tonight or whatever. Whoever had bartenders had to go and change it, and they were walking in water.
Yeah.
Down there, you know. So then they had wet feet. You know, it's. It's not clean water either, so. But like I said, it's just, you know, in the office or where I got the office and everything is yuck. It's just, and the wood's all getting rotten. Like I said, the doors, you got to pull and kick on the bottom because they're all swelled up.
Everything's
and,
getting wrecked.
You know, we got that one new, I told Jeremy, we approved them new doors and that one new door for the basement. But I told Jeremy, call him and tell him, hold off on that because that was a special made door because of the height. You put that in there, it's going to be junk too because mm-hmm. that's going to soak up that water. That'll cause that to rot, plus it'll stick. And so.
Well, that'll get the problem fixed and then put it in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, like I said, you know, we're ready, you know, but just don't
we
put it in until
we talked about holding off on installing that door until.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Are there companies that come out and rip all that stuff out? I imagine there's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
Service Pro must do that.
I was thinking Service Pro, yeah. And I would think we probably have to get somebody that's knowledgeable about that kind of damage that can guide us.
Everybody
you know,
see that has them problems as Service Pro.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the sewer backup, the guy from Service Pro was there.
Yeah.
And the nice thing with Service Pro is they detail everything and do reports. And I think that would be maybe who to maybe talk to.
Sure.
And then maybe, I guess, I don't know, maybe we talk to Hennings. See if they can come out sometime and
get
look
some
at
bids or something.
Some possible
like
solution
I
on
think
fixing them drains.
I mean,
yeah.
just,
I know it's another pain for you, but
yeah. But like I said, I mean, it's
unfortunately it's something you inherited.
It's a health hazard, is what it
yeah,
is,
yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm not comfortable
right.
with it. I mean, I just
well,
I don't
I
like.
Mean, being that it is the dire. I mean, I haven't got
it's
about
it's bad.
Ways, so then, do we need to contact? The two groups that have rental of it in June here. I mean, if it's that bad where you don't feel comfortable working on there and it's evident that we are putting people at health risk, we shouldn't be renting it out until it's taken care of.
No, we just got one more rental now in August or something.
End of August.
So we got a couple of months to.
Yeah.
Call the service pro. Coming up here in June.
Pardon?
We have two people using it in June. Summerfest is using it for bingo on Friday night, aren't they?
Nobody made me aware of that.
No.
What are they doing bingo? They're doing bingo down at the. Alongside the. band that's going to be playing on Friday night at the bar, at the Shell.
I'm not even aware that there's bingo. You said there was.
Nobody's told me about use of the hall.
Adult bingo. I don't know why they call it adult bingo, but it's bingo on Friday night. I'm not going to be in town, so I'm not.
That's for the kids and stuff.
No, it's called adult bingo.
Well, I've been to the Summerfest meetings and I've not heard a thing of it.
Well, if Jeremy hasn't heard anything about it, I would guess that probably it's not going to happen. So,
I mean, I always block the hall off for that. I mean, that's kind of the unwritten rule we've had, but
just
nobody's...
Just looking at this, we have Summerfest 20 to 21, and we have Baby from 25 to 26 in June.
Yeah, we have an auction up there, but other than that, we don't have nothing until August 30th.
You're going to be in the basement, pounding the floor out, right? The way it sounds.
Well, that will be to correct the
right.
water
yeah.
issue. But then we still got the issue to get it cleaned up down there.
Yeah. Right. Well, if you put some... If you get these guys in there, I'm sure they're going to be putting some fans and stuff in there to dry the place out a little bit, you know, or dehumidifier or something in there, I'm sure.
Well, it's dried out substantially from what it was when I was in there last week. But it's
I
still
got fans and dehumidifier going down.
Yeah. But it really stinks. And the mud that's down there on the floor, I damn near slipped and broke my neck the other day on Monday when I was in there.
It's like slime.
It's really greasy.
You got the doors open, everything,
yep.
air out. And
yeah. It's pretty well dry now. Like I said, I got fans and there's a dehumidifier down there.
But you still got the mold that's there.
You still got the mold is there.
Right.
And so I guess what I would like to see is I'd like to see Greg find a place to have his office outside of that building until we get it resolved, to keep him out of there.
Why don't we call Service Pro? See when they can come here, give us an idea of what's cooking. And then
maybe at least have them do a decontamination or something before our rentals. If they can't get...
Should be able to spray that mold.
You know, this corrected. But we still need to... I think the mold we need to... I don't know, we may have to do it twice. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But
depending
I think
on Mother Nature, but I think we need to get Service Pro out here ASAP to take care of the mold.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeremy, but I think to keep the problem from coming back, I think we have to rip out four feet high.
Yeah,
what's
we
there?
Have to do that. I'm just saying,
get that out
we
there
need
and
to
then
get
damage
Service
it.
Pro out here now
because
we may not get the for the drainage correction.
Right.
We may not get that done right away, so we may have to have Service Pro come out and take care of the mold.
Get rid of it.
And
yeah.
knock on wood, which we've been saying for about 8 months that nothing else happens.
Yeah.
You know, so that we can correct the, you know, the drain issues, get that corrected, and then hopefully, you know, then we can go at maybe get someone to come out, cut out the boards.
You know
or,
that
but we need to get it treated ASAP, right?
Is there a way, Jeremy, that we as a council can authorize work to be done without having to set a dollar amount? I mean, if it's $20,000, that's one thing, but, I mean, can we just give you the authority to move ahead on
so
this because
make a motion up to a certain amount
to wait until the next council meeting to review bids and whatnot. We've wasted a month.
Well,
and the problem
I
service
think
this is something we'd call a
special meeting
for.
Yeah,
if it's too crazy.
Yeah,
I guess my first thing is to have Service Pro come out, whatever that cost
give
is.
Give us an evaluation.
I
that
think
that's what we're up
against. Yeah, right.
Yeah, they could walk
yeah,
around
get,
and they
get them out here to assess the situation and then go from there. So if we can get them out, if you can. Get in touch with them tomorrow and get them out here, like I said, to assess the situation, then we can go from there and look, get it done. I mean, if we need a motion to do it, whether or not, regardless of the money, I mean, obviously, as Mr. Odom said, you know, if it's $20,000 or $50,000, then obviously we need a full type of deal. But if it's, you know,
we can call an emergency meeting.
Yeah.
It's a health issue. We can call an emergency meeting.
Yeah.
If we have to on that. So.
But can we get some place where Greg can set up out of there so he doesn't have to go in there?
I just go in there in the mornings.
I mean, do you have books or records or documents or anything that you have to...
I can do that up here.
I guess you either come up here or just set up in a water treatment plant.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable with that.
Yeah, I could do a water treatment plant.
Wear a respirator if you're cleaning the floor down there or something.
I mean, it is. It's bad. Like I said, you just got to look at the walls and you can see what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I've seen it down there. I mean, just even, you can just see the water stains from the stuff leaching up as it's came coming before over the years, so.
Yeah, like he said, you know, the floor is smooth, so when that stuff comes up, it's almost like a snotty grease in there, so it's actually dangerous to walk.
I'll be looking for a motion to get going on this project here, to give Jeremy permission to go ahead with something.
I move that we get this problem with, we get Service Pro out here, the mold problem, water drainage problem in the hall. Let's get it fixed, get it started, get it fixed anyway.
I second that.
Okay. Motion been made and seconded. Is it all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Pass. So. And if we have to have a special meeting on this, Jeremy can give us a call.
Yeah, and it might take us till next meeting anyways to have estimates, but I think the first thing is to get Service Pro out here and get the mold tackled.
Yeah, okay.
You know, whatever that cost is, it is. That has to be taken care of.
Yeah, if they can do it without having to rip everything apart right off the bat, but they might have to. They may say, hey, it's too bad. We can't do anything with it right now.
So we'll have to get them out here to do an assessment.
Yeah, we can talk all we want. Let's see what we find out.
Greg, on the cleanup now, what's down there right now, can you get service to the sentence of serve to clean up some of that? Help you with that, or?
We probably don't want them down there until.
No.
Until we get the mold problem solved.
We don't want anybody down there until.
Yeah, you have to work on there, wear a respirator or something. Something that'll filter, at least a dust mask that'll filter out those mildew and mold spores, because that stuff's not good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I go down there, grab the equipment, and I leave pretty much. You know, I don't sit and do all my paperwork.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, all you got to do is just. You look at the block walls, and then, so if you really want to see, go in like the pop room there. That's right back where that steps comes down. Everything is just black, and there's like white mold growing on top of the black now.
Yeah,
it's really bad. So, generator hookup for the community hall. Dick, you met with?
I met with Larry from Rob's Electric on Monday morning, and. Basically, what they can do is take the old generator that was at the lift station, and without making any modifications to the generator or to the plug on the end, so that if we have to use it down there, we still can. But they can put in the necessary equipment, rewiring and stuff, at the community hall, so that if in the wintertime the city's without power for a long time, we just pull the generator alongside the community hall, start it up, let it get up to speed, plug in the cord and throw a switch downstairs, and the whole community hall will be powered.
Have you got some kind of estimate on that?
Well, yeah, he was going to
put that together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's thinking it's probably somewhere in the $2,000 to $3,000 range, a one-time charge. And Jeremy also brought up a good point after he left that we want to have it done in such a way that eventually, when that generator totally craps out, we don't have to rewire the whole thing again, so that's going to also be taken into consideration.
Change a plug or something, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's good. We've got the community hall roofs.
Community hall and park roof repairs. I have not gotten any estimates yet. I haven't even been up there myself on the community hall. Park roof repairs, too, we got on there just because there also we rent that building.
Rentals there the past 2 weekends. Of course, we all know it's been raining on the weekends here, not lately either. And even I did the rounds and the puddles in there. It's almost embarrassing that people are renting it and the puddles that are in there. I've had one person complain that it basically leaked all over where they had their food line. And they were not happy.
We did check into that once, and that was with the guys in Greenhouse, Boss. And they were going to come and re-screw it.
We talked about having them do it, but then we never...
Is that a metal roof on top of there?
Yes.
I think that's
a metal roof up there. But we talked about, that time, getting it re-screwed, like pulling the nails out, because they're probably popping out right now, and then getting it re-screwed. That would be a first place I would think to go to, just have them come over. I don't think it was that bad that time to have it redone.
It was like $3,000.
I was going to say $3,000 bucks. Yeah.
Yeah, because it, that leaks pretty good. I know I was in there cleaning it up too when it was raining and it was dripping all over. Yeah. I mean, they got, there's like whatever, so it doesn't dent as softballs hit it. I don't know what this stuff is up there, but that's all was really soaked and stained and just dripping all over it.
And so then I think there was that time, I don't know if we had talked about maybe they're going to recoat or coat the top and rescrew it and then coat it with some kind of stuff, Conklin or whatever it was that time.
I know that's expensive.
Yeah.
I know when they build them buildings, the nails or the screws have like the rubbers or whatever, right. And I'm sure that probably over time it's probably yeah. there.
They were
rotted and stuff, and so the yeah. water's probably running right through the screw holes in there right. now.
They were going to replace all of them. They were going to pull the nails, replace all the screws with new washers and everything. That was that would be a place.
Well, give bosses a call too once.
Yeah. I guess it's one of those things, you know, if you're renting the place and you got to sit there.
You want it for shelter.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should rename it. If it's not fit.
So, all right. The next thing I got is the old pump house and the well. We talked about that. Me and Jeremy sat down with Kurt Reeds, and you know, we talked about that well. And basically, Kurt said, even in an emergency, he would never turn that well back on. Because right now it's an emergency well, or we have in case of a fire. Right now we don't even have a way to get water out of that for a fire unless we pump it into our water tower. That well's been shut down for 10, 11 years. If we did that, we would put ourselves into an immediate boil order.
Yeah. Contamination risk.
A contamination risk, which would be a huge no-no. And he just said with the two wells, the two wells we got, we haven't used that in 11 years. The repairs that need to be done in there, they have grants out there for capping or closing wells. He suggested that we just do away with it. Yeah. That would be his suggestion.
That we should cap that well.
My suggestion.
Especially if we can get a grant to do
it. Yeah, and I think they're usually like 50%, so we can look into that. But what we wanted is council's wishes or backing that pursue this when we go to the Department of Health and see. Because the big concern would be, do we have to fill it? You know, can we just cap that well? Do we have to fill that well? Do we got to fill it so much? What would they require? Because we're looking at an 835-foot deep well. Because that's into the Mount Simon Aquifer, which I think you can't really, they don't tap into it.
And is that like a 6-inch well?
And I don't know what the size is, probably 4 or 6 minimum.
I think that's a 6.
Probably 6, I would guess, yeah.
Sounds like a lot of cement.
Exactly. So that's where we would check, but I guess what we wanted to bring forth to council, do you want to pursue that option? As far as I'm concerned, like after talking to Kurt and thinking about that, we haven't used it in 10 years, and in an emergency, really, we'd be putting ourselves at risk to use it.
Yeah, we got mutual aid, too.
I think
right.
Yeah,
so
like they say, they said in case
we need to abandon that
well. Stand pole that we could turn the thing on and even fill fire trucks with anymore. That's something.
Seal it off. I think even with the risk of getting water up in a water tower, that's it.
Yeah.
You don't want that. That would be.
And like I said, there's broken valves in there now.
Bacteria issues and gosh.
You know, pipes almost rotted out just from being old and stuff in there.
I would make a motion that we authorize the city clerk to move ahead with measures to take and cap that well and check into what has to be done to get it permanently put out of service.
Been a motion. We're looking for a second.
I'll second it.
Been seconded. Are you all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Got a pass. You're just going to get some prices on us? Think you can get back to us on that? Or?
Well, what we'll start with is
call the Department of Health and see
what
they say.
See what we have to do.
See what we have to do.
See if we can get a grant.
And then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because because
Kurt said they actually got grants out there. He said he knows that there's grants because they don't want these.
I think they have 50% or up to 10 grand. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He just said they've looked at that basically. The Minnesota Department of Health don't want these old wells sitting there open either. You know, because you could contaminate that aquifer. So he said that's why there's grants out there to help cities with that.
Then that little building can go away over there, huh?
It sure could.
Yeah.
Well, storage.
Yeah, but I mean,
storage, yeah.
But I mean, everything in there could be.
Yeah, the pipes. Like I said, a couple of them valves are busted in there anyway. The pipes are almost rotted out.
Did you ever find out if the floor drains are still plugged? Or
it slowly went away.
It did? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I got it set up with Empire for the cleaning of the sewer lines or the others. I guess it's a 3-year contract, the second year, whatever. He's backed up right now, so he's going to let me know as far as the jetting of the sewer lines when he can get here. So that's been taken care of. City street improvements. Just wondering if, like Jeremy said, we don't have anything going this year for the overlays or anything like that, but we got a bunch of places that need to be patched in town. There's some patchwork that needs to be done down in the park down there. The blacktop is all coming apart, and all the kids are taking using them like little building blocks all over, and they're in the grass, and yeah. They just kind of pick them up and they try and put them back together or whatever. I picked up a bunch today again, and then like up by City Hall where they always dump the big dumpster. That's all broken. There's a big hole, but there's a big sinkhole there, which is kind of a little bit of a tripping concern or whatever if people are walking there and stuff around that backside too. So just wondering. I had talked to Brad, and he said that, you know, in the past if they got a little extra here or there, a few hours, and he said if I mark the spots, they'll just come and do them. Is that something that I guess that's how we normally did it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll be a lot, but just, like I said, there's a few places, too, where there's some breakup and some holes and stuff that should probably be addressed.
Get them marked. Let them know.
Take care of.
What else are we going to do?
Because I'm pretty sure we were all in agreement that we were going to basically carry over our LGA in the next year and then look at doing a project next year with basically 14, 15 monies, yeah. Correct? Yep. Okay. Yep.
Talked about it now. Okay, have you talked to Justin? Has he came and looked at them streets? Is there anything that he suggests that we pre-maintenance before for this next winter?
No, kind of the only things I've talked to him about is, you know, now that we've redone Robert and we did Kim,
yeah.
And we should be looking at seal coating them too. Adding that to our city plan too.
This year?
Well, not necessarily this year, but he said in the next couple of years.
Oh, okay.
Would have to be this year. But. And then the priority would probably be, Sophia or Jacob there.
Sophia for sure.
Sophia for sure, and then Jacob would be the next.
Was he going to have that dug up, that one drain there right by the alley? Whatever happens there in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to definitely look at that when we redo Sophia.
Yeah. There was
maybe it needs to be rebuilt, I don't know, but yeah.
There was some other digging that had to be done, Greg. Who was going to do it last winter?
Behind Lois Wilhelmson, wasn't it? I talked to you on that.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about it when we get Hennings out on the next project to take care of the service connection for the sanitary sewer service connection. We've talked about that, yeah. So that is on the radar, yeah.
You got anything else, Greg?
Just one thing for in the future. I'm really backed up. There's a lot of stuff to do, and right now I'm sitting on a lawnmower at least 3 days out of the week just to try and keep up. For this year, I'm okay with that, but I think in the future we should look to, or at least for next year's budgets or something, look to hire either a kid or a retired person for a couple, probably 3 days a week to run the lawnmower. You guys would be all right with that? Just because I'm not getting anything else. I'm just trying to stay ahead of the game.
There's some people that would help and donate and do.
No.
No.
Oh, they would?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I have that on my list that I was going to bring up, too, is that, why do we have to wait till next year?
you know, money-wise, I understand. But the thing is,
there's volunteers that will come.
Well, even if there's not, at 5:30, when I stopped down at the lift station, Greg is still riding around on the lawnmower. He hadn't been home yet.
Well, that was because I didn't get on the lawnmower today.
I think that all the help that we can get Greg, he deserves, number one, and I'm sure that he would welcome it. And I don't think it's going to cost the city a whole lot. And Greg's plate is full, as is Jeremy's. And so the more that we can do to help Greg's job go a lot easier and make his comfort level better than what it's been, because he and Jeremy both have been really under a lot of stress for, well, as long as Greg has been here and ever since Dennis left for Jeremy. And so I think anything that we can do, you know, to give them some support, whether that's a pat on the back or buying them lunch or getting somebody to run the lawnmower, I think that it's incumbent that the council do that.
You got to look at the weather. We've had exceptionally
snow,
well,
cold, that's what I mean. Yeah.
And now monsoons.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I said, I'm just,
so
it's just fighting and trying to stay ahead. What I did today is I flushed hydrants all day today, but it's supposed to rain Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, and Friday. That park down there needs to get cut twice a week. I've been getting at it once a week, and I'm cutting grass that high. Yeah. I already talked to Spitz, and Spitz had said, especially with Zummerfest coming next week, I said, depending on how the weather is, he said he'd even be willing to jump on that other lawnmower that the baseball team has to help me out. Because, I mean, you know, like I said, especially when you get a big weekend like that where you get a lot of people in town, there's going to be a baseball tournament and stuff, and he said he'd be willing to help with that, too, if need be.
He's pretty...
Yeah. I mean, like I said, right now, you know, there's a lot of stuff I'd like to be doing, but I'm just trying to stay ahead of the game. I mean, I'm cutting my own lawn every 4 days, but you guys know you're going through the same stuff every 4 days. It's like, we have monsoons and snows and hails, and something's got to give pretty soon.
Do you leave any money in the budget for a part-time person?
I think we took it out this year, finally. I
couldn't remember.
The only problem with that is I think we're going to need to look at it next year, because the problem I hate with government, we can't just go, okay, let's hire someone. We got to go through the whole process. Mm-hmm. By the time we go through that, 6 weeks.
Yeah. How about sentence to serve people?
Yeah, you're going to get them out here once every 6 weeks right now, probably, Greg.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to save that.
But at this point, if somebody wants to donate their time, volunteer, they can come anytime they want.
Yeah.
How do we get that word out?
You talk to certain people and it happens. Like Spitz knows the people too, that would help.
Yeah.
You probably know other ones. I know some.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I understand for budget and stuff, but like I said, it's I don't mind cutting lawn. You know, to me, that's easier than a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of other stuff that we have issues with that I think I should be dealing with too, that I'm not getting at. You know, I mean, it's not that I'm not trying to get stuff done. It's that, like I said, I'm sitting on a lawnmower for...
But it has been an unusual year.
Yeah.
Typically, you don't
sitting
have...
Sitting on a lawnmower for 3 out of 5
trees
weeks.
Falling
sure
in the park.
Oldest into
doors blowing out.
Night
the
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's not that I'm trying to dump the job, because to me, that's the easiest thing I do is cut lawn. But... there's a lot of other stuff that needs to be done.
It's just time-consuming, and you
have I'm not getting at it. And like I said, the reason I stayed late tonight was because I flushed all day, and then, well, I had the radio on, and they said, you know, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, rain. And it's like, I'll have to cut in the rain. I don't want to do it, but I can't let it go, because then you're going to have piles, and we don't have a bagger. And that's what happened when I started here, and then... what ended up happening in a bunch of places in the park, the piles were so thick that the grass is dead now this spring.
Really?
Where it all laid, it actually smothered it. Yeah. So, you know, it's just... So, like I said, that's just something for the future. And, you know, like you said, too, get some people to donate a little time here or there.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can maybe get some other things done. I'm not complaining about cutting grass. Like I said, that's the easiest thing I do. But... it's just that, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that I know that I probably could and should be doing or fixing on or, you know, painting or all kinds of stuff that needs to be done.
True.
So.
Just remember, you've inherited some of these things, and Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, that's not how
I don't want you to get burnt out.
Yeah, it just, you know, like I said, I see the stuff and I want to get it done, but there's only so many hours in a day, and that just kind of weighs on me too. So.
Well, but. Talk to Spitz, see if he'll start helping. I'll talk to some.
Yeah.
I mean, we can probably have 4 lawnmowers down there tonight.
Well, like I said, it's just, it's, you know, right now, like I said, I have been keeping up with the lawn, but I haven't been getting at a lot of the other stuff, just for that reason. I mean, I've been trying to, like in the morning when it's wet, I don't want to cut when it's wet, so I'm spraying weeds. You know, I'm going around with the four-wheeler and spraying ball fields and cracks and cement and sidewalks and everything else, and so.
Okay, so that way you guys can get that look on that, yes, whatever. So.
Okay. Other than that, I don't have anything unless you guys got something for me.
I've got a question. I've been trying to get a hold of the owner of the old Farmer Star, but I don't get a return call yet. Because with those trees growing out, and are there critters in the basement?
I haven't seen any.
Because some of the people that live upstairs have come to me and say they hear scratching at night.
That's bats. That's bats in their walls.
Is it bats or if it's...
I haven't seen any down there.
Okay.
Like I told Jeremy, if I got to start carrying a shotgun to read a meter, though, I will.
But that was my question.
And hip boots.
Shotgun as well.
Ran into anything down there that looked you back in the eye or something?
No. I just carry a flashlight down there.
Whereabouts is that, Mayor?
The old Farmer Store. Across from Steve.
Yeah.
Where the apartments are upstairs?
Where the trees are growing.
Oh, okay, yeah. That place is for sale?
Okay. I was actually going to cut them out of there yesterday, and I ran out of time. But.
Well, I've got a couple calls in her. She hasn't got back to me because I want to get on her case because they're in that other building next to the alley. It's all weeds. Building, the foundation is weeds.
Yeah.
And
she owns a lot by my house, too, that I've cut for the last how many years. I'm not going to cut anymore because now I transferred the Creeping Charlie from that lawn to my lawn via the lawnmower.
And is that the one next to us?
Yeah, that's why I don't cut her no more.
Well, yeah, that's where we got our Creeping Charlie from.
Yeah, that's, like I said, now I transferred it to my lawn, so I got to spray that over and over and... It's like, you know, I always cut it because it looked terrible.
Well, yeah, before you cut it, Greg, that stuff was this high.
Yeah, and I didn't want the neighborhood to look like that, but like I said, now I'm contaminating my own lawn. Yeah. So.
Well, that's another thing, like the place here, you know, kitty corner from the hall.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we've
discussed a few places and nuisance letters that need to go.
Yeah, there's the lots down there, too, by the house that flooded. There's a lot in between there.
There's one in between, one was cut, and the other one needs to be cut. That's getting bad.
We discussed it.
The breeds.
I mean, we're going to have to start putting teeth into this.
Yeah.
You know, we've been just too easy.
Or if we got to cut it, I mean, I know even on my daughter's wedding, I got guff about that house that's foreclosed on. Why did the city let the weeds get that high? So that's supposed to be taken care of by the realtor with the sign on it, but I said... You know, but like I said, I heard that on the wedding. You know, how could you guys let that go? You guys got to cut that, huh?
Well, it's going to get billed. But I guess we always have to send notes.
Yeah.
We always got to do this.
Well, we should get something done with that.
They probably got it going, hopefully, or you will.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but like I said, the owner of the old Farmer Store is also the one that's by me, so you can send her a letter on that, too, because it's already over.
Well, once I leave another message for her, I'll get after her on that one. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've been cutting that for years, but now the Creeping Charlie I brought into my yard, and I'm just like, you know what? She's going to sell that someday. Why should I cut it? It's my time, my gas. Actually, I've been spraying it for years, too, but it... Now the Creeping Charlie really took over that whole end there. I thought, you know, that's just money out of my pocket. I don't know.
Well, that's good information when I talk to her.
I guess if they own the lot and it's for sale, they should maintain it in the city.
Yeah,
that's our thing. Yeah.
That's good. And I've got a little more firepower.
You still want me to take them trees out of there, though? especially before Zummerfest.
Yeah. I'm going to tell her that's what's happening, and
yeah.
I'm going to say, maybe we'll bill you.
Yeah.
Have we got anything else for Greg?
No? I don't. Thanks for everything.
Oh. He's going to cut the trees for you. What else do you want?
I'll quit it.
Oh,
I'll call you.
Go. No, go ahead if you got something. That's what we're here for.
Well, no, you must be going for a record here, so I'll shut up.
No, record is gone already. That's long gone.
Well, we've beaten the whole lawn thing to death, so if we can move on.
All right, let's go.
Thanks for everything you do, Greg.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
And you do, Jeremy.
All right.
City Clerk Treasurer.
Statewide Health Improvement Program, we talked about that last meeting, about some options, but Tony canceled on me. Basically got an email, said they're looking at changing their plans for active living, and telling us we know a little more. I think it would be premature to meet, so I didn't meet with him. So that's kind of on hold.
Okay.
So just give you an update on that if you're wondering. Another thing, I got a request from Community Education with the school district. They're wondering if the council would have any objection if they put out their flyers to have like band lessons in each community. They wanted a place in each community where they could sign up through Community Ed and then hold band lessons in their community. I wasn't highly receptive to them doing that here because I have work to do, and it would be a major distraction.
Well, they'll be serenading.
For people.
Well, that's during the day rather than like
yes.
at night. Oh,
yeah. Wow. So, night, fine. But during my work hours for two hours, not wasn't too keen on that. But
well, I can't.
I don't know if we want to let out the hall for that. It'd be for like 5 weeks right before school. Couple hours. I said, fine, I'll check with council, but my thought would be is we could allow the use of hall as long as no one's up there, but I have to remind you that it's not air conditioned.
And you've also got a mold problem.
Yeah, it's got to be fixed.
But hopefully by
put school kids in
end of July we'd have
that out of there.
But I guess so I brought it, said I'd bring it forth to council, see if council had any objections to that or any other thoughts as to where they could do it, but really the only other place I thought is the park. So I guess, right. So that would kind of be the two options.
How about
here at night? Fine.
Yeah.
You know, if they wanted to do it in the evening.
How about that building that's got the leaky roof down at the park?
Well, yeah, that's what I would say. We could do it in the park.
Okay. I would say give them that option because even if the weather's bad, they'll be in out of the rain for
right.
the most part.
So they can do it at the hall or at the park.
So you can just let them
I guess
go.
Whatever council's wishes are.
Do you need a motion on that?
I suppose you should have a motion to grant it.
Yeah, at no charge.
I mean, we give it to other benefits.
I'll move them to the shelter at the park for free.
Better motion.
I agree. I second.
Okay. Better motion and seconded. All in favor?
Right.
Pass.
One thing I wanted to point out, and is going through the mosquito schedule, looking at that, I noticed normally we have them come the Wednesday
right.
before Zummerfest.
Right, I seen that, yeah.
But
it's right
it does not work out. So
right
do we either want to move a date or do an additional spray?
I'm going to say do an additional.
Well, will they spray tomorrow night, Jeremy?
Well, they'd be spraying another 4 days after Zummerfest.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, basically that weekend you've got baseball tournament.
Okay.
And you got Zummerfest.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're saying do a double spray almost.
That's what I would
2 weeks in a row, just
think.
Later.
Yeah, we need a spray Thursday night.
They come Wednesdays. I mean, I can see if they come Thursday.
They probably would.
I can check on them.
But usually years past, they've always been on Thursday before. Something.
And they might have.
Yeah.
But
they made it,
I'll just check with them.
Yeah.
Usually that Wednesday fell that week.
Yeah, need a motion?
Yes.
We need a motion on that, yes.
For an additional spray.
Their motion made and seconded to have a second spraying for Zummerfest. All in favor?
Aye.
Pass. Okay.
If anybody knows anyone interested in being a election judge, I still need one judge for the morning from 6:30 to 2, and I need one judge from 2 o'clock till basically 9 o'clock. Remember the two shifts we have, so if you know anybody interested, please refer them my way. I would appreciate it.
Is it $10 an hour to get?
Correct. So we have till next meeting. Or that next meeting we'll have to approve election judges.
We need two?
Yes, one for the morning, one for the afternoon.
Okay.
And that's for the August 12th election?
Yep.
Okay.
And then the,
yeah, the same problem.
General will be November 4th, and it's the same for
same
both.
Thing?
Yep.
Okay. Would that person work, do both of them? Or could they conceivably?
Well, it would be nice.
It would be.
You're going to get trained.
Greatly appreciated, yeah. You know, the sooner, because the trainings here will be in July, end of July. Because you have to do a 2-hour training session in order to be an election judge. Or you can do an if we get into a worst case scenario, a head judge can do an emergency training.
Hmm.
For not to have to go through that.
Let's see what we can find.
Yeah, and I got postings up at the post office in Bain. So.
Send it to Jen at the chain.
Oh, sure, I can do that.
Agenda review, added items.
Council, just a few things. Add, and these things can be added really to the consent. Water and wastewater report for May. Updated delinquency report. Letter from Randy Sanitation. And then updated June claims list can be added to the agenda under item number 11.
And can Parkside Tavern, could that be removed from the consent agenda and discussed in more depth?
If you wish.
Okay, I do.
Okay.
Okay.
Remove the Parkside Tavern from the consent agenda for added viewing.
I move to approve the agenda as stated.
Motion, is there a second?
Sure.
Second. Is there a nay? Okay, pass. Consent agenda. We looked over the items and stuff. Parkside Tavern is going to be excluded for further notice or viewing, I should say.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Sure.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passed. Okay. Justin, Chief Justin Buckentine, Fire Department report.
Good evening, all.
Good evening.
We'll start off with the Sommerfest. Just to give you an update, June 20th, 21st. This year, it's us and Lions putting it on together. At tractor pull, car cruise, kickball, little league, barbecue cook-off, bean bag, ventriloquist, pedal pull. There's probably more too. But I don't know if you have any questions on anything with Sommerfest.
Only thing I have under that, Justin, is just the liquor license for Sommerfest.
Yep.
Last year we required $1 million and $2 million limits for insurance. We want to require them same limits this year.
Did you guys get insurance?
Well, I think we're waiting on to see tonight what we got to do.
Because if so, council has to approve that, and then I have to write a letter to the insurance company letting them know that we approve the higher insurance requirements for the license.
I think that is for what we serve at, because the Lions covered under their insurance and we need our own. So.
Because otherwise the limits are $100,300, which really doesn't go far in today's world.
Yeah. What's the difference in premium?
Because we're covered with ours.
Right. And I didn't even, you have $1 million, 2 million.
Yeah. I didn't even need to fill out that liquor license either, because I guess that the Mike's Hard that he sells me is 3-2, because I talked to him.
Right, so I didn't even need those, then.
But yeah.
What's the difference in premium?
That I don't know.
Roughly.
I think they said it was going to be the same as last year. I just know it was $416 was last year, so... I haven't talked to Donna. I think Brad and Brenda were dealing with that, and then they kind of talked to Jeremy yesterday. So,
but typically, that's what we require is the $1 million, $2 million.
And I agree with you that $100,000 doesn't go very far when it comes to litigation.
No,
I would support that.
Have you talked to Donnie on the tractor pull, or have you got the railroad company call?
Brad's been dealing with that with the railroad. I don't know what Donnie, he hasn't been at any of the meetings. I don't know what they're doing. As far as I know, it's taking care of the tractor pull.
Do you need a motion for that license?
Yes, please.
I'll move to approve the higher limits.
Second.
Okay. Carried. Okay.
That's it?
Yep.
All right, and just to give you an update on the grants, what we've got in Minnesota Valley Electric, we got $1,000 from them for the second rescue dummy we ordered. The first one we got, that was the $3,000 one, and then we wrote a check to the city from the relief for the other $1,600 to pay that. So that one should be finalized, done. We've got it. We've trained with it already. Works good. DuPont Pioneer Grant, we got a $2,500 grant from them. And when we put in for that one, that was for Rescue Randy, which is another training dummy. It doesn't have the medical stuff on it, but that's one we can abuse more. We have a smoke machine with that and two helmets for our captains so we can distinguish who they are. And that was because we had the bids came in less than originally they were, so that's where we got the helmets from. Out of that, the helmets we got last week and the smoke machine and the original Rescue Randy are back ordered, but that whole bill came to $2,487, I think. So that's excluding shipping yet, so with everything we might have a couple $100 tops probably that'll come out of the training budget for that. Any questions on that? I think we still have we're waiting on a FEMA grant and Minnesota DNR and CenterPoint Energy. We put one in for last month yet. So just waiting to hear back from all of them.
I got one question on the claims, the three training mannequins.
Yep.
Was that on any grant?
No, that was, we got a deal out at FDIC. They were $3,060 a piece. But when we were ordering ours or looking into it, Carver Fire and Howard Lake Fire were looking into them too. So by ordering three at a time, we were able to get the shipping down and we were able to get the cost down to $2,600 a piece. But that all came through City of Hamburg, the billing did, and then City of Carver and Howard Lake Ambulance wrote checks out to the City of Hamburg. So that's why three of them were shipped here.
Yeah.
So okay. That's what that's about.
Okay. I don't know if Brad filled in on the burn that they had last weekend, I think it was.
I heard a few things about it. But
yeah. But he was out there, him and... Who's that guy that was with him?
Jason Hansen. He's our new...
Okay, that
one
was
one that
new
just
guy.
Joined.
Okay.
Thought it'd be a good one to get him to practice driving water truck on.
Yeah.
He did get plenty of practice the way it's founded.
He did a good job.
All right. That is it for the grants, unless you have any more questions. Light Tower Excelsior Fire had asked to use that. They use it every year. It'll be for their 4th of July. I'll probably just drop it off on my way to work and pick it up on that Monday morning. With that, just wondering, is this something that you want brought up to council all the time, or should we just leave it to the fire department's discretion? Or I don't know if it was always brought up before.
Well, it's my understanding that there's been some private usage of that tower. And I personally don't have a problem with another fire department using that. That comes under the head of mutual aid as far as I'm concerned. But if somebody's going to have a graduation party and they want to use the tower to light up their yard for whatever reason, I think that that's not a good intended purpose. If it falls over on somebody, the city's subject to a lawsuit, something goes wrong with it, who pays to fix it, it's out of service. I think that there should be a policy established where if somebody like Excelsior wants to use it or Carver or whatever, and it's legitimate, function of that requesting department, I don't see a problem with that, but I think we've got to set some rules and some guidelines about private use of it, because a couple of times I've seen it going behind a private vehicle down the road, going someplace out in the country, and I think that that's a bad precedent.
Well, some of it might, with the private vehicle, if we had a call, we might pull it with that too.
I know what you're saying. There's a red truck following it or ahead of it.
I know what you're saying. But I know some... the Relay of Life and NYA, they use it. I mean, some of that stuff, I guess.
And, that's a function, but, for a private family or private function, I don't think that's a good idea.
I guess that's kind of what I'm asking, where we should go with this or where...
Because I think, if you have a set of guidelines and you say no to everybody unless they're a fire department or bona fide function, then it's equal. But if you don't have that definite policy... you say yes to this person because they're a friend of somebody, or you say no to this person here for whatever reason. I think that this is a PR thing. You have to have a standard policy in place. Again, the fire department's wanting to use it, coming under the heading of mutual aid. I don't see a problem with that. Private use.
Didn't we set something up after the Carver County used it and it didn't come back working?
Well, we signed a mutual agreement. With Carver County use is what that was.
Okay.
Well, wasn't there a problem with the winch or something?
We've had problems before. They got it in, and that wasn't there. That was at that drowning that night in NYA. We got it up, and it wouldn't come down. We can always hand crank it, which we did that night, but after we got it in, I don't know what happened. It worked fine the next day, but they took it in and redid the motor on it, and they're thinking it was the motor on the winch.
The thing is, too, if it's out someplace at a graduation or some kind of a private function and the fire department needs it, you're wasting time going out there to get it and putting people in the dark. You're inconveniencing them. I don't know how much.
It might be an inconvenience for them, but they'd be under that understanding. For us to use it, it's not a high emergency. It's not like an engine or something. Mm-hmm. It takes us 20 minutes to get it. It takes us usually 20 minutes to get it pulled, all the trucks out, and get out of station anyway. So if we would have to go get it, that time is probably not that crucial. But it's. I'm just wondering where to go with it. Do we want to go into the fire department making discretion, the chief? You want me bringing everything to the council on it?
Do you feel comfortable making that decision on yourself that you're the chief?
Well, I thought so.
Everything's going to be, it's going to come back on you anyway.
Right. So that's what I'm asking now, is to put it somewhere. Yeah.
Justin, I'm not questioning your authority. I think you're the fire chief, you run the show. I think you should have the final word. If you decide to go to a function with another fire department, I think that you should, you don't have to come and talk to us every time, as far as I'm concerned. I think you should have that, latitude. In that decision-making process.
You're in that position. I think you should be in charge of it.
Well, I don't think there's any issues within Carver County because we have that mutual aid.
Right.
I don't know. Is there anything with Sibley County?
We're in there, Carver. We're in Sibley County Association.
Right. So
and we mutual aid all Carver, Sibley, Plato, Glencoe.
Right. So wherever we have that concept, I don't see issues.
Yeah.
I mean, Excelsior, we technically don't have that either.
Right.
But
that's why I brought it up, because it's Excelsior asking for it, but I don't think we have anything for the Hennepin.
They're in Hennepin County. I mean, they're not really, like I said, they're not really part of our mutual aid association either. I mean, we've always done it before. I guess I wouldn't have a problem with it.
I'm comfortable with whatever decision you make, and I think you should have that authority. I'm just, you know, raising a question of private usage of it.
Right. And that's what was kind of brought up another time.
Everybody comfortable with that? And Justin be in charge of that? I mean, should be.
Put it under the, just that the chief has that say, which is the way it always was, as far as I'm understood.
Yep.
But
need a motion on that? Or?
I think it'd probably maybe be best just to cover.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion with the understanding that, you know, private use of it is not included. But anything that's fire department related or could be construed as being fire department related, Justin be given the authority to make that decision on his own.
Or charitable.
That would probably be
going back and forth here, Mr. Odoms. Either you give him the authority to make a decision whether it's something that he wants to do, whether it's a fire function, or you're making the city council do it. You're running back. Which is your stance?
What don't you understand about this? I'm saying if it's fire related, he has the authority to make the decision. If it's not fire related, you know, then I think it should not be allowed. Now, what's so difficult about that?
You're either giving him the authority. He's got or the not giving him the authority.
Bobby's got the authority if it's fire department related. If it's going to be for somebody's graduation party, I think he's got to come to the council with that. Or we should just say no private related events.
Is there a second?
So if I understand the motion, just so I make sure I understand, we're going to get grant the fire chief right for mutual aid discretion. That's it. Right?
That's correct.
Okay, I'll second.
Second motion been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Pass.
Thank you for clearing that up. We have a 2-inch valve in the station leaking over engine 11. Had that before. One of our guys works for Well Drilling Company. He says he'll take care of it. But just to let you know if you notice it's leaking, he's going to take care of that. I think with the new member problems we had, I think we finally figured out the background check.
Basically what they did is they revised the laws in 2013, which basically now requires you to do a background check, so they created new forms. So any fire department member, whether new or current, you can do a background check on. New, you're required now to do a background check. So after we did some investigation and discussion, also what they have in there, if you haven't lived in Minnesota for at least 5 years, now you do a federal search, which requires fingerprints. So you basically need the fingerprints and the plates to be sent along in with the check. So this is where we had the holdup. We were wondering why they're never getting back to us. Well, obviously we didn't have the proper information to send to them because he needs a national background check. So I guess what we're waiting to do for one of them here, you know, moving forward, we know what to do now. But with this one fire department member that we've approved pending a background check, we need to discuss with him if he's, you know, willing to go through the process of getting the fingerprints done. So it's a new regulation. And I don't think it would be an issue if we didn't have that five-year clause in there. Because he's only been in Minnesota
four and a half years. It's almost five. So he's right on that verge now. By the time we go through all that, he'd probably be over the 5 years.
Do they grant waivers for anything like that? Say, if he was a fireman in his other state, do you know, have you looked into that?
For what? He was a firefighter.
Will they waive the five-year requirement for something like that if he was a fireman somewhere else and he's just transferring himself?
I would doubt it. It's clearly states.
I mean, usually governmental stuff has some kind of waiver type deal.
It clearly states.
It's pretty clear.
Has resided in Minnesota for less than 5 years.
So
or the fire chief can require it also. So yeah, the fire chief.
It could require it in everybody, but you can't say we're not going to do it if it's under the 5 years.
Right. I've seen nothing in there that explains that if and ors or buts to this. I don't see no waivers in the statute I've looked at. So.
And so where do they go to get fingerprinted? In the sheriff's office? Or?
They haven't gotten back yet.
Either sheriff's office they can, but I don't know what they're going to charge for the plates, because you need the fingerprint plates to be able to send in. And then it's a question of, are we covering that cost now? Or are they burdening that cost? Or you got to go down to BCA, which basically then now you got to go down to the cities. And I think there was
a $29 charge.
Yeah, $29.50. Yeah. Or $28 for volunteer. You know, and then there's the $15 fee for the regular. But I think there's another fee for the plates, for the fingerprint plates. So I think it's, it's kind of crazy. What's next, eye scan?
Well, it's... And this all just came, I haven't even talked to him yet. We just figured this on Friday or Monday. So it's just fresh. I haven't talked to him yet which way he wants to go with it. So that's what that is with him. We've got another one that has shown interest called last week. He's not in our fire district. He doesn't work in town, but he is within the 5 minutes. And I talked to the chief over there. He said he's fine with it if they want to join this one. So. But same with him, I'm waiting on the application until we get this figured out instead of wasting a bunch of time and then having him go redo it all. So there is some interest in joining if we can just get him through the background.
We'll get him through now.
And you can't get him, they can't do anything, I imagine, until they get this passed, right? You can't ride out of a truck for.
Well, we're not going to want it. You just don't want the liability. Right. What's the point of even starting?
Right.
It's just not worth it. Looking at a 20-year plan, it doesn't pay to rush somebody in over 2 months. If there's nothing more with that, then I believe Chief Draghi is not here tonight because he is being recognized for Firefighter of the Year for our region. And our region covers from Hamburg is the southwest corner. It's Plymouth or Maple Plain. I know Plymouth is in our region yet, and every department between here and there. So for that whole region for this year, he is being awarded that, and I think they got him tricked out to be there that he's given a deal on Explorers. So I don't think he knows he's getting it yet.
So what was the actual title, Justin, of it?
It's the Region 11 Firefighter of the Year. Is there any more questions for me?
Anything on for the chief on any claims list or anything for bringing up now?
What's that check number 16825 Ready Water Electric? It's public safety FD.
That would be for the.
What's it for?
Outdoor warning siren. So we had some repairs there. We had to redo some wiring and get that up and running. Because when we did when they started testing it at the first of the month again, ours didn't trip. So we had them come out and look at it, and they got it up and running.
Okay, so it says FD, but that's not really fire department.
Well, it's emergency.
Well, it goes under public safety.
Yeah. Okay, all right, so that's good.
Anything else from Dusty?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks,
Justin. Hope yourselves a good night.
You as well.
Rick Hansen, Jaguar Communications. Evening.
Good evening.
How are we doing tonight?
Good.
Thank you.
While you're getting that information, first of all, my name is Rick Hansen with Jaguar Communications. Jaguar Communications, as you're probably aware, has our own fiber, 96 strands in the Carver Link project, the ring that goes around the county. With that said, Jaguar Communications would like to overlay the community with fiber to the premises to be able to offer telephone, phone, and video services. In the state of Minnesota, to offer video services, we have to have a franchise with the community. State of Minnesota requires a level playing field, so the existing terms and conditions of your existing franchise with Mediacom, Jaguar would have to live by and commit to. That's what basically we're willing to do. I've gotten a copy of the Mediacom current franchise. I've briefly gone through it. I didn't see anything that was out of the ordinary. I've given it to our legal counsel to start to review this and that. But our plan would be to get a franchise, start overlaying this community. Because of weather, we're a little bit behind already this year with a lot of rain, this and that. So right now it'd be probably starting sometime in August and basically start hooking customers up by the time all the fiber splicing's done, this and that. Right in the middle of September. We believe we offer very competitive packages. We've overlaid now about 8 communities, mainly in southern Minnesota. And we also do a lot of residential areas. Just so you're aware, we've been in meetings with the joint, all the townships in Carver County where we're getting a video franchise so we can start serving the triple play of services to the people along the route. We're going into about 4 other areas in Carver County this summer. And things are going quite well. Just from a matter of business customers, the residential that we do have on, everything's going very, very well. So I'm just here to introduce myself. Welcome the opportunity to answer any questions you might have about Jaguar, this and that. A lot of times when we do go in and start in a community, we hold like open houses where we can rent a town hall, whatever, set up our services, show people the internet, show people our video product, what we have to offer. Everybody gets on our video channels 2 through 188. When it's a very robust lineup, and then of course we have extras. We got the sports extra package. We got the pay service channels. They also get the music channels as part of the 2 through 188, and then we also offer HD channels. So we do have a lot to offer, but we like to show our product, this and that, have open house, hot dogs, pop, cookies, and things like that, invite the public, come down for a free meal. Works very, very well. We like to partner with organizations in the communities that we serve. We would look to the direction of the city on that. On top of the franchise fee, when I say partner, as an example, a lot of times we are tied in with local schools. So if a customer takes, we'll have an initial sign-up phase where we donate so much per customer. But then as an ongoing thing, we'll donate. So, Mr. Mayor, if you took our services and you took all 3, we donate $1 per service taken. So $3 would go to the service organization each month. That's our way of being part. One way of being part of the community, When we do work with schools, we like it to work with their telecommunications department, audio, visual, whatever it may be. Many schools right now are leaning towards getting iPads, laptops for students, this and that, and just be able to keep up with telecommunication service one way to enhance. In other areas, there's a one town we donate to the there was not a school. They were part of a consortium or a consolidated school district, and the city kind of, well, you know, the fire department needs some help. We work with them, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it might be 1 year with the fire department, it might be something else down the road. That's one thing we like to do. So with that said, I'd like to formally try to get the process rolling with the council's approval to get a video franchise. I will say this, I've been in the television business for, unfortunately, 30 plus years. And in the cable television business, the cost of programming, we really don't make any money on programming or on the video service. But what we do find with the triple play, even though the internet's truly picked up now with Netflix and all the different programming coming through there, people requiring more bandwidth, the cable television, what we call video services, is the sticky that's very important that holds a customer. We do believe not too far down the road the law is going to be changed on how these services are granted, this and that, because it's outdated. I mean, I go back to the days when franchises were first granted in communities for cable television, and the reason being is cable television was cable television. They didn't offer internet. They weren't into phone. And telephone companies were telephone companies. The only way cable TV could come into a community was for the city to grant a franchise so that the cable company could use the public right-of-ways easements. And that's really not the case anymore. Phone companies, we're all aware, they offer the triple play. Phone companies like us, cable television companies all offer now the triple play. Everything's changed. So it's the dynamics of the business, which is probably a good thing. More competition out there. Our low-end service on internet, we right now, when I say low-end service, our starting package is 15 meg download speed, 5 meg up. It's on the information there. And for businesses, this and that, we can work with whatever needs they may be. We've got customers right now that are taking, we've got one school we started off 2 years ago with, as an example, taking a 50 over 50 symmetrical bandwidth service. This year they've now gone to 200 over 200. And it's the more use of teachers integrating into the classroom, the use of YouTube, whatever it might be as a visual, and then also students requiring bandwidth with their laptops, iPads, and iPads. So any questions that you might have, I truly just wanted to kind of introduce myself. We appreciate City of Hamburg going with Jaguar for the phone services, and we certainly do, are part of them anyway right now. We appreciate that. Of course, you got your bandwidth now coming from Carbon.